Years of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment. Would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid.
This is the Quality News Network. Two Republican senators have now joined the Democrats in a bipartisan resolution against the president's 21,500 troop increase in Iraq. The non-binding bill was introduced today. It has the support of Republican Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine and Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. Snow had said a military solution is no longer feasible in Iraq. Several retired American generals testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today, criticizing President Bush's plan of a troop surge in Iraq. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says that his government has detained 400 Shiite fighters from the Mahdi army, which is headed by anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. He also reportedly complained that the U.S. has not given the Iraqi security forces enough weapons or money for training. In Baghdad over the past few days, violence has surged prior to the upcoming U.S.-Iraqi security crackdown. At least 19 people were killed in six bombings today, at least 31. Were wounded. The Associated Press reports that the Pentagon has come up with a manual with rules on upcoming detainee trials. It would allow hearsay evidence and coerced testimony to be used to convict suspected terrorists. Defense Secretary Robert Gates continues to meet with leaders in the Persian Gulf. Today he accused the Iranians of overplaying their hand. That's a quote. Another U.S. aircraft carrier will arrive in the region next month, and more U.S. Patriot missiles are on the way as well. An Israeli official indicates that his country is ready to release $100 million in frozen tax funds to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The money is expected to be used for humanitarian assistance and to strengthen the moderate leader's forces, the presidential guard. Fire at a high-rise building under construction in Dubai today killed two workers. Dozens more suffered from smoke inhalation and other injuries. Columnist Art Buchwald died at home today at the age of 81. Pulitzer Prize-winning author and satirist was best known for his observations of life in Washington, D.C. over the last four decades. His syndicated columns appeared in more than 500 newspapers around the world at one point. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news just ahead. And now this message.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
A study by the Harvard School of Public Health finds that nicotine levels in cigarettes have gone up by 11% from 1998 to 2005. Largest cigarette maker Philip Morris reports no steady increase. However, nicotine levels in cigarettes may vary from year to year. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke issued a strong warning to Congress today about long-term spending on entitlement programs, which will increase as the number of baby boomers in the U.S. retire. He said this will cause the budget deficit and federal debt to grow unless spending plans are put in place. The company that operates retailers TJ Maxx and Marshalls says that there's been a breach in the computer systems that process customer transactions. Consumer data was stolen back in mid-December. Internet auction site eBay will make security its top priority this year. An internal survey found that the company's reputation may be hurt by online scammers. Apple Inc. reports a record-breaking last quarter with $1 billion in profits thanks to the holiday sales of more than 21 million iPods. In trading today, the price of oil briefly dropped below $50 a barrel. That's a 20-month low. Currently, light sweet crude oil trading at $50.48 a barrel. That's down $1.76. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow down 10 points at 12,567. NASDAQ down 36. The S&P 500 down 4. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. 6 minutes after the hour, six after six here on the East Coast. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Thursday. Brother Bob was away from the cathedral for a prayer meeting last night. Had rather a longish meeting with the fine folks at Coal River Mountain Watch. What an amazing organization. What an amazing display of dedication. And as such, I didn't get home in time to get the show started, so my sincere apologies. But it was time well spent, time very, very well spent. I'm proud to be associated with the organization. Now, what did we miss last night? Well, we'll catch up with a few things. But just, this is strictly anecdotal. All right, this is... There's no science involved with this. It's, I've told you about where we are. A remote, undisclosed location in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. And it's pretty quiet around here. Now, we've got 50 miles to the west of us. We've got the West Virginia Air National Guard airlift wing. A bunch of C-130s. We don't have any fighter aircraft. And we don't hear them very often, but I mentioned this last week, these little fighter air groups have been flying over. And yesterday it got really bad. Numerous occasions, these F-14 Tomcats, that would be the fighter aircraft that fly off of our aircraft carriers. They were going, I got to see it because I wasn't behind the microphone, so I was able to stand out in the yard and watch some of this. At supersonic speeds, they were flying up, as it turns out. Well, the geography of the region, the New River flows north out of North Carolina, and it joins the Gauley River, G-A-U-L-E-Y, everybody get a laugh, the Gauley River, and those two rivers joined together form the Kanawha, the Great Kanawha. That's an old Indian word meaning River of Death. They're all old Indian words meaning River of Death. But at any rate, where the Gauley goes up, it runs through a canyon, as does the New. And what these little squadrons were doing I don't know what you call them anymore. Three at a time. They were running up the canyon of the Gauley, which is sort of a twisting and turning thing, and popping out right before they got to Summersville Dam. And literally rattling the walls, shaking the dishes, scaring the children. And what they were doing was practicing to go and bomb some brown people. I mean, it is what it is. I don't think it takes a lot of heroism to bomb a peasant from 40,000 feet. But at any rate, what these guys were doing was practicing for Iran. Because we're not in the normal flight path of any military air bases, with the exception of the aforementioned 130th Airlift Wing out of Charleston. Just out of curiosity, I called down to the Air National Guard unit last night. Fellow said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe it's one of our could be one of our C-130s." I said, "Not unless your C-130s have afterburners on them now." He said, "No, that ain't none of ours." I said, "No, it ain't." So they didn't let you in on it either, did they? Oh, no. Not that they would have shown up because they were flying below the radar. I mean, these things were big in the sky. And you know how big they are to begin with. It was a practice. They were practicing. Because generally... here in Appalachia, we are the single most abused area of the entire United States. We get our mountains blown up out from under us, our water poisoned, our homes shaken from their foundations, our wells destroyed, and then when
Top Gun aviators
need to practice bombing runs for how they'll slaughter some brown people, we get to stand in for the brown people. No, duh. Because it's a very twisty little canyon. If you go to Google Earth or something similar and look at the satellite image of the Gauley River Canyon Gorge, or the New River Gorge, for that matter. Why, it must be just like a video game for these guys. Now, the thing is, the trick, if you will, the trick is to figure out why they would want to use the Gauley River Gorge, or the New River Gorge. And I just out of matter of curiosity, I went looking around at Iran. And darndest thing I found there. I found a supposed Iranian nuclear installation where they are working on their heavy water system. And it is at a place called Arak. A-R-A-K. And if you go and you look at it, you will find that it is surrounded by steep mountain gorges. So, yeah. We're standing in for the brown people and the peasants that Bush plans on slaughtering next.
Oh, but Jesus, Bob, they're going to have a nuclear weapon.
So what? Pakistan's got nuclear weapons. We didn't bomb them. We didn't bomb India. We made a deal with India that's outside the nuclear non-proliferation agreement. Israel's got 100, if not 1,000 nuclear weapons. Didn't bomb them. Oh, they can be trusted. Welcome to racism. You know, first we bombed the cradle of civilization between the rivers. Now we're going to bomb another cradle. and it's disturbing as hell. Now, why am I bothered by all this? Like I said, they don't do this to us very often, send their supersonic jets over, rattling the walls and shaking the dishes and scaring the children and the animals. They don't do it very often. They only do it when they intend to go kill some brown folk. Because the last time they did this was right before, and I remember it very well, right before Shock and Awe. So, yeah, there's something up. I know it may seem a bit paranoid to you. I promise you it's not. I'm just observing things as they occur. And frankly, life is usually quiet here in the hills and hollers. It's one of the reasons we're here. It's not the day-to-day hustle and bustle of life in the city. It's a very quiet place. And when you start seeing things like this, it can't help but upset your apple cart just a little bit. As Holmes might say, the game's afoot. And of course, there are predictions now, articles that I've read recently. Well, you know the warning from the insurance group that, and also the warning from Kuwait, that we will attack Iran by April. What did T.S. Eliot say? Or was it Pound? April is the cruelest month. So that's where we begin tonight. Sorry to be such a downer. We'll see if we can't find something to laugh at. The Republicans are still above the ground and still breathing. God knows we'll find a giggle in there somewhere. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and take your calls at 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head-on. This is the Head-On Radio Network. You're welcome to join in the conversation. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head-On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves that he's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Thursday evening, and we go straight to the phones. Our good friend Mike calls from Woodstock, New York. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, happy New Year. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, to you too. It's hard to imagine the New Year's only 18 days old, and it's already this screwed up.
Yeah, well, it's I think there's some terrible things going on, but there's also some very good things going on.
True, true. I don't mean to be such a negativist.
I think now's the time that all good people have to think about going into the street to protest. I was listening to Mike Malloy. He mentioned that we need to get 10 million people out into the street, and that's going to be like the critical mass, that number, 3% of the population.
I think that very well could be critical mass. The question for me is that enough? And my question, Mike, also has to do with how long do we stay in the streets? Because if we show up on a Saturday and we're gone on Sunday, so what?
No, we need a general strike.
Yeah. Everybody stop what you're doing and demand accountability. I couldn't agree more. And, of course, I think part of that effort is coming to fruition. On the 27th, the United for Peace and Justice rally in Washington, they're gonna march on the 27th, and then on the 29th, which is a Monday, they're going to be visiting, shall we say, congressional offices.
That's good. I plan on being in D.C. on the 27th. Are you going to go?
Because of things going on here with my family, it's a little difficult for me to say at this point.
All right. Well, it'd be nice to get a head-on radio contingent down there.
I'd like to very much. And we've actually discussed it. It's just the issues surrounding what's going on with my father. The entire world is on hold here.
I got you. My dad's very old as well, so I understand how that is.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, I got this crazy car that runs on fryer oil.
Right.
And so, but it's also covered with a lot of different bumper stickers. One of which says the road to hell is paved with Republicans. And the other two say impeach Bush. And then the other one says Bush cheated. And it's the same bumper sticker as Bush Cheney 04.
Oh, very nice.
So, you know, as, like, in the last 12 months, the reactions, like, say 12 months ago, I go down the highway and get really hostile reception. But now, it's either positive or neutral. So what I'm seeing is there seems to be a shift, and I guess we're seeing this in the polling as well, but people, I think, who are supporting Bush are feeling somewhat ashamed of themselves, as they should.
Well, I think the people who are supporting Bush, what was the word that that Rumsfeld used to describe the people who still supported Saddam, dead enders?
Right.
I think we've got our own contingent of dead enders here in the United States, and they're about 18 to 20% of the voting populace.
I think that's about where it's at in terms of what they're saying in the polls. I've also been, you know, listening to the right wing shows and stuff, and the topics they're coming up with are so absurd now.
Well, they can't talk about, I mean, I've heard some of them, too, and you really don't catch them talking a whole lot about the war.
No.
And that says something.
they really seem lost. And now you see some Republicans jumping over to the Democrat side, which is interesting. But listen, your introductory tonight was chilling. I also live in a mountainous area with rivers and so on. And your description was very vivid and very, very chilling. And I just want to say I haven't heard you in a while because of my schedule. I had to work a lot to shake the money tree.
Yeah, that tree takes some shaking, doesn't it?
But I'm up here in Woodstock tonight, so I tuned you in, and it was good to hear your voice. You're like an old friend.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you very kindly. And, you live in a wonderful community up there. And I envy you your grease car. I've actually been on eBay a couple of times looking for an old Mercedes diesel that I could convert into one.
Well, when you get ready to do that, definitely contact me.
Okay.
And I'll walk you through it.
All right. Is it a terribly complicated process?
Not at all.
Good. That just seems like for those of us on this network who talk this talk, I think walking the walk is very important as well.
I'm going to go, but if I could leave you one website for people
sure.
who are interested in grease cars.
Yeah.
It's called greasedcar.com.
All right.
And it has wonderful forums. They sell their own kits, but there's many kits on the Internet. I happen to think there's as good. That's what's in my car. But there's lots of different competing people out there. But that's a good place to start for information.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks so much. And it's always good to hear from you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. And onward to our good buddy Lee in North Carolina. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm okay. You?
I'm pretty good. Things are, kind of looking up in the country, I think. But let me, before I really get into what I wanted to call you about, I'll take care of one thing.
All right.
This week, we celebrated Martin Luther King's birthday.
Right.
But something people never really talk about is Martin Luther King Sr. and what an incredible man he must have been. He imbued the ideals and the beliefs into his son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he must have been a remarkable man.
Well, the apple falls near the tree, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and the apple doesn't fall from the tree. And that's why I'm calling, because I would like to say right now that your dad is one of those dads. I don't know him, but I know he's a good person because he raised a good man.
Well, thank you.
And I wish you all the best. And having said that, I guess I'll go on to some things that some less savory things.
Yeah, yeah. God knows there's enough of them.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching C-SPAN, and, Republicans are just disgusting, despicable people. The way today they tried their best, and they're doing their most for the oil company. They're doing everything that they can to prevent the repeal of the tax breaks for the oil companies. It's just disgusting. I think right now, I think Republicans, period, are disgusting. And if there are any good Republicans out there that are listening, if you want to be considered a good person, get out of that party. It's just, I just can't believe it. There is no Republican in Congress right now that deserves to go back. A lot of them are changing their mind, but you have to understand, they got us into this. They're changing their minds now because they're afraid of losing their power.
Well, right. They're changing their minds because a bunch of them are up for re-election in 2 years, and they think there's a strong chance that the national ill will will hold them accountable, Lee, because, at the same time that, what is it, 12, 19, 19 Republicans are on board criticizing Bush's war plan, we've got to balance that against something, Lee, because 46 out of 49 of the Republicans in the Senate voted to filibuster the Congressional Ethics Reform Bill. Now, this bill passed the House of Representatives something like 430-1.
Right. And the reason it passed the House by that margin is because probably a lot of those disgusting Republican House members probably consulted with the Senate and said, hey, look, we're going to go ahead with it because we know you're going to, you're going to exit.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, you know,
they probably said, we're going to take care of our constituents. We're going to say this, but we know it's not going to pass because you got our back.
In other words, it was a safe vote.
Yeah.
Well, it appears to have been. But, you know, the question remains, where's the mainstream media on this, Lee? You know, why can't someone out there ask the question, why is it that Republican senators, 46 out of 49 of them, have decided that they can't stand the idea of giving up their bought and paid for lobbyist lunches? Do we not pay these guys enough money to go to lunch anywhere they want to in Washington, D.C. on their own nickel?
You know what? We just got to get away from it. We got to have total campaign, you know, reform. It's got to be, all campaigns should be paid for by the public, and they're going to say, well, why put this on the public, on the taxpayer's shoulders? Well, for one thing, it would cost us about probably 1,000 less than the way it is now. From what we give up, my goodness, we just, hey, pay anybody. You want to run, go ahead and run, and we'll pay you for it.
Well, look at the money that was spent on the last presidential election. Look at the money that was spent in the 2006 congressional cycles, and compare that to what we need here in America. You know, look at the money that went into these media conglomerates' pockets.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And imagine why is it that only folks like Mark Levine this afternoon, why is it us progressives are the only ones who are talking about this? Why isn't Katie Couric talking about it? Because it's a pretty doggone good question. Why is it that the Republican Party is stopping a bill? It's not like this thing has big, sharp, nasty teeth, Lee. It just says that lobbyists can't buy you lunch anymore. And you can't take direct cash from lobbyists, and you can't fly to Scotland and claim that you're addressing the Scottish Parliament when you're teeing it up at St. Andrews. It just says you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But these goons.
Republicans are just disgusting, greedy people. I mean, they just are. And I apologize for any Republicans out there who thought that you were getting into a party that had true American family values. Well, why don't you back up and take a look at what their values are? They're against America. They're against family. And I'm sorry, but you just need to get out of the party. Chuck Hagel. I mean, he's coming out against this war. Look, if you want to do something, Chuck Hagel, get out of that party. Stop. The thing you could do if you got out of that party would be to prevent Joe Lieberman from holding the nation hostage.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Lieberman he's a very disgusting person.
Well,
Republicans,
I can't come up with venomous enough words to describe how I feel about Joe Lieberman, Lee. It's when I saw him two Sundays ago, or maybe last Sunday, they all run together for me these days, talking about how the surge was the way to go. There's no doubt in my mind, like I said before, he is running to get on a vice presidential ticket with John McCain.
Well, you know, I hope that happens. I really hope that happens. I hope they get on the same ticket.
I personally hope John McCain and Joe Lieberman run on a third-party ticket.
Well, I hope they run on the Republican ticket because, you know, people don't... Well, I'm not a pessimist. I basically think... I really believe that, United States is still a very, very thing would have happened 10 years ago or maybe 7, 8 years ago before the Bush administration started turning Americans against each other. But Joe Lieberman can't get elected nationwide. He couldn't get elected in the South. Joe Lieberman is one of the guys that Mel Gibson said killed Christ. Now, for the fundies, he's not going to get elected. It's exactly the same thing with Barack Obama. He's not going to get elected in the South. I'm sorry, but it ain't going to happen because this is a racist, sexist, and religionist nation. It always has been.
You're right on all counts. Joe Lieberman's part of the reason that Al Gore only beat George Bush by a couple of million votes.
Absolutely. And Al Gore he made a miscalculation. Maybe he made a pretty good calculation. He figured that Florida was a very, very important state. And Florida had a very large Jewish population, and that he could grab it. What he failed to realize was that he lost the rest of the South.
Yeah, well, he lost, among other things, he lost his own state. And I think Joe Lieberman had a lot to do with that.
And that's amazing, he lost his own state. That is really amazing. I don't think, has a president ever lost their own state?
I can't recall offhand, but it was rather seminal.
Yeah.
So, you know, no, I don't disagree with you one bit, Lee. This is, there's a political calculus at work in Washington right now that's almost psychotic in its operation. This little group that's out there, I've mentioned them a couple of times before, called unity08.com.
Never heard of.
Or .org, maybe. They say they're going to find a unity ticket. And they're going to get a Republican and a Democrat to run together for president, and they're going to break the bipartisan bickering that so damages our nation. This is, of course, a bunch of horse hooey.
And that's McCain and Lieberman.
That's McCain and Lieberman, as far as I can tell.
Well,
and you know, I wouldn't trust either one of those men with a dead snake.
Will never happen. This country was moving towards a nation where a black person, a woman, a Jew, or anybody that's not Christian could be elected. We were moving towards it until George Bush. And he just turned everybody against everybody else. Can't happen now. It may happen. Maybe the next president could turn it around. But it's not going to happen now.
No, it's not. And somebody needs to get that memo to Hillary.
Yeah.
You know,
Hillary, I think John Edwards is, I think John Edwards, can win. The problem is, I don't know if John Edwards can win the Democratic primary.
Well, then the primary system is a primary problem, too. And this is no slur on people who happen to live in South Carolina, New Hampshire, or Iowa. But I would like to actually have a chance to pick my candidate, as opposed to letting Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina pick them for me.
Well, who chose the last Democratic nominee?
Those three.
Well,
the Republican Party chose John Kerry, sure.
The Republican Party and the media chose John Kerry. And what they're doing now is they're trying to choose Barack Obama. They're trying their hardest to choose Barack Obama. And, I like the man. I don't know all that much about him, but what I do know about him is pretty good. But it's the Republican Party that's trying to choose him.
Well, they've already done an excellent job, Lee, of showing us where they're going to go with an Obama candidacy. With all these right-wing talkers out there who now refuse to refer to him as anything except Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Okay. And the newspaper story in the Washington Post that will get legs, this is a swift boat item, where in his book he admits he was a cocaine head.
George Bush was one and he doesn't admit it.
Right. You know, but Obama, but see, Barack Obama's a Democrat, and he doesn't get to use George Bush's excuse, which was, I'm not going to talk about my youthful indiscretions.
Youthful indiscretions, yeah.
So you get a pretty good idea of where that's going. They're going to slime him, and they're going to slur him.
It's just a disgusting, you know, you talk about, you hear about, Barack Obama, the first, he could be the first African-American president. Wait a minute. Barack Obama, as far as what I've heard, is, he's 50% white, 50% black. Why don't they call him, European-American?
Well, there's another one for you. This Melanie Morgan and Officer Vic and a couple of other disgusting right wingers on KSFO out in San Francisco, they coined a new term for Obama. They call him a Hafrican. And they
that's
got
actually that's actually kind of funny, but I don't understand why. You know, black blood must be extremely, extremely powerful, strong.
Oh,
one drop will make you an African.
Yeah.
Just one drop. Okay.
Well, you know, I grew up in a South where they still looked at fingernails and said that if you had sort of a little half moon back by the cuticle, that was proof of black blood.
I've heard that.
Oh, my God. No.
I've heard that. Not only have I heard that, I've found myself looking down at my own fingernails.
I know. And I'm like, wow, look, there's a half moon there. What's that mean? You know, I thought it meant that, you know, maybe I was in desperate need of cuticle work. But, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. Powerful stuff and terrifying stuff.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Makes you want to lock the white women up.
Yeah. The guy has a white mother and a black dad. What does that make him? It makes him. Does it make him African American? I don't know. Does it make him a European American? I don't know. It makes him an American.
Yeah, and it makes
That's the only thing I do know.
You remember that wonderful comedy Stripes with Bill Murray?
Yeah.
And the speech he gave where he said, "We're all mutts."
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's no purebreds amongst us. We're all a bunch of mutts, and we are.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, if you're a mutt, but it happens to have darkened your skin a little bit, oh, well, Katie, bar the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
there's a lot of people that don't know that they have African blood in them.
Well, African or for that matter, Native American.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people forget that at the time of the Trail of Tears. Among other things, by that time, for a couple of hundred years, the Native American tribes had been accepting runaway slaves.
Yeah.
And intermarrying. And as a consequence of that, during the Trail of Tears, there were people who refused to leave who secretly intermarried and intermingled into so-called white pioneer society. And you can see it in the faces of, well, people in Appalachia today.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, speaking of, Native American, man, one thing that I can, if you want to parallel the war in Iraq with something, just think about, let's say, 15th, 16th century Spain. And their reason for colonizing the Americas was to bring Jesus to the so-called savages. And as a matter of fact, they got the okay from the Pope to go and bring Jesus to the savages.
Right.
While at the same time, they were saying, what they were doing was saying, we're going to go and get all that gold that lays under your feet, just like the oil lays under the Iraqi feet. And they basically sent people over there who are over here to tell the indigenous American people accept Christ or die. And oh, by the way, where's your gold? What are we doing in Iraq? We got to go to bring democracy. What we're saying, and what we're doing is we're saying, accept democracy or die. Oh, by the way, where's your oil? I mean, it's exactly the same thing. Accept democracy will die, except Jesus will die. By the way, give me your oil or give me your gold. It's exactly the same thing.
It is indeed. And you know, that's a tragic commentary on our inability to grow past some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the question of what so-called advanced civilizations do to civilizations that are deemed not as advanced. And usually that determination of what constitutes advancement has a racial component, Lee.
Yeah.
And throughout a lot of history, it's all, you know, advancement has been measured by the absence of melanin in one's skin.
Yeah. Well, you know, people talk about UFOs a lot. UFOs finding us. Man, I hope UFOs never find us, because the people that are found are the people that are doomed. I hope we go off and find some other civilization, not that they find us.
Yeah, the idea of the there's a lot it's a lot more scary to contemplate things that aren't ET.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, along the lines of what we're talking about here, Lee, you ever notice the representations of the aliens?
Oh, yeah, they all look like us.
Well, no, they're all even paler than white people.
Well, yeah, they're pale. Even, well, they're green, but they're pale green. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's another manifestation of our race-based psyche. And look, you know, let's not make any mistake. When we go and bomb the snot out of Iran, that's going to be a race war too. These are all race wars.
Well, it's a no-win situation. I mean, if you think of, I think it's like 25 million people in Iraq, something like 25 million people. And we've killed, or people have been killed because of us. High figure was 650,000, might be 700,000 now. Low figure is 100,000. Let's just accept the low figure, 100,000.
Yeah.
That's one in every 250 people in Iraq have been killed because of us. Now, how can you expect, I mean, every single person in Iraq probably is related to or is good friends with somebody who's been killed because of us. How can we win? You've made enemies. Every person you kill, if they have a family, let's say they have a small family, everybody you kill, you make four enemies. Now, I think it's been said that 52% of all Iraqis right now say it's okay to kill Americans.
Yeah.
That is frightening. 52%. Those are only the people that admit it. I mean, imagine, dude, how many people would admit it? If 52% admit it, it's probably more like 90% believe it's okay to kill Americans. You stop somebody on the street and you say, oh, is it okay to kill Americans? And you put a microphone, you know, to his mouth. How many people are going to say yes? A lot of people are going to say, oh, no, because, hey, you're an American. Well, you might be working for an American, you know, the American news media. 52% that admit it's okay means that the whole country means it's okay. We're saying it's okay.
Yeah.
That is astounding.
Well, we have cause for plenty of worry. You know, the reason we went into Iraq, you know, one of the things that Dim Sun said was that, well, we're fighting them over there, so we won't have to fight them here. Well, we fought them over there, and because we fought them over there, we may have to fight them here. Because, like the calculus you just worked through, the little calculation there, there are a lot of people in Iraq, if they could figure out a way to get over here and kill them some Americans,
they would do it.
They would do it in a minute. And they will hang on to that, and, you know, and I've said this a number of times, I hope I don't get boring, they will hang on to that urge for vengeance for 1,000 years.
Oh,
well. Because they're still talking about the Crusades.
Absolutely. And you know, Christians are still talking about, you know, the crucifixion of Christ.
Yep.
And that's another reason why Lieberman will never, ever in this country be elected. Hey, there's a lot of Mel Gibson people in this country.
Yeah, he's not an anomaly, and he's not and he's not a minority either.
No.
And that's sad to say.
I need to let you go, but I'd like to say one thing to the the right wing or the the crazy evangelicals out there. I think it was Richard Dawkins that said Richard Dawkins, you know, wrote
The God Delusion.
Yes. And I think one thing he said about religion was he respects, and I do respect, a person's belief in his religion to the extent that I respect a person's belief that his wife is beautiful and his children are smart. Now, and that was his quote. Now, saying that and believing that, I say that that same person who tries to force me to believe that his wife is beautiful and his children are smart is just a nut. So that's it for me tonight.
That's good. That's good. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye. And we'll roll on to our good friend Susan in Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I've been crying a lot.
Why?
Because
we're about to start another war?
Well, that too. I just put a song up on the blog. It's called Not in Our Name.
Yes.
I urge everybody to listen to it. As far as I'm concerned, that should be the anthem of the anti-war movement. Now, I defy anybody to listen to it and not turn into a piece of blubbering protoplasm. But unfortunately, I've also been watching a lot of videos, one of which is what this song is based on, the 1991 death of 408 women and children in a bunker in Baghdad. They thought they were safe.
And they got roasted.
Well, it was worse than that. First, they got awarded a bunker buster, which blew a 16-foot hole in the roof. And that killed a bunch of them. But what really did for them was the phosphor bomb that came after. All this time later, you can still smell the burning flesh.
Dear God.
There is a video about the Iraqis turned it into a shrine. Knowing the American military authorities, they probably bulldozed it. But you can see the video that they took about it on the blog. It's up there too. It's all, the post is Not in Our Name. Not in Our Name is also an anti-war website. And I urge everybody, check it out. It is an extremely good website.
Okay.
Loaded with anti-war stuff, demonstrations, that type of thing. And as for your flying, your jet that nobody seems to know where they're coming from.
Yeah. I got a pretty good idea where they're coming
from. Well, so do I. I happened to be talking to Agnes at the time via chat when all this was going over, you know. She'd stop typing, say, oh, blankety blank, jet, you know, so on and so forth. And so I got on the horn to my delegation. And when I started giving landmarks and describing what these people were doing, and the fact that they were fighter jets, the fact that they were going underneath the radar, oh, you bet Senator Wyden was really, really interested.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Thank you for making that call.
So was Congressman Wu. I mean, they don't like, you know, anything they can use to slam these people.
Well, I'm pretty sure, just knowing what's, I'm guessing these, because they did appear to be F-14 Tomcats. which I would guess were most likely flying out of Norfolk Naval Air Station.
What gets me is the F-14s are more or less obsolete.
Oh, there's now they're still among the finest fighting aircraft in the world.
I love them to death.
They've been modified a number of times since they were originally introduced, and frankly, they'll do just fine instead of us sinking a few trillion dollars into the so-called Joint Strike Fighter.
Oh yes, that's a boondoggle if I ever heard one.
That was the word I was going for too. and the reason, you know, well, first of all, we know the carrier groups that are already over there.
Yeah.
One would assume that these training missions are being run for the carrier group that's going out next.
Yeah. Well, what really perked these people's ears up was when I told them that this had happened before, just before, shock and awe. And then you could almost hear the antenna go up.
Well, it's like I said that if this was where I used to live in Atlanta, in Mayretta,
mm-hmm.
And it was right in the flight path of Dobbins, you would expect it.
Mm-hmm.
If I lived somewhere near the San Diego Naval Air Station or near Norfolk or Pensacola or Jacksonville, any of those other places,
or in Seattle, they've got a naval air.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure.
Standpoint.
You'd expect to hear that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we don't get that. This only happens when there's some sort of evil crap afoot.
Right. And it's just, you know, I just sit there and I go, oh, God, they're going to do it to us again. Update on the Hutton. No, it's the Hutto.
Oh, the Don C. Hutto private kitty prison in Texas?
Well, they call it a residential detention center now.
Yeah, it's still a concentration camp.
Oh, yeah. They held a vigil over Christmas Eve. The townspeople of Taylor wanted to bring in teddy bears for the kids. They would not allow them. They said, you're going to smuggle in contraband.
I know.
Kennedy's office, the Oregon delegation's offices, Obama's office, wasn't able to get through to Clinton's office. A whole lot of Democratic people, and Kucinich, of course, they are, for one thing, they've never heard of this joint.
What?
That's what they told me.
Oh, God.
So I emailed them links. Mm-hmm. All spelled out nicely and gave them the directions.
Never heard of it.
So anyway, if they're not just fobbing me off, they are going to be asking questions.
Well, it would be nice if they did, because this is one of those things that I can't say anything to my delegation about, because... you know, God forbid I should criticize low-flying military aircraft rattling my house. That means I'm un-American.
Horse pucky.
You know, you should have seen. I mean, I'm not complaining. This is the job. You know, you sign on for this stuff when you do the parenting gig.
Right.
But we had to explain. You know, what's going on? Because it sounds like, you know, when that thing comes, you know, 500 feet over your rooftop, it sounds like the world is coming to an end.
I know. I grew up in the flight path of the main runway of SeaTac.
Okay, yeah.
Airport.
Yeah.
747s would go over less than 100 feet up. Believe me, I know.
Well, and the thing is, I couldn't, and it's the way I'm made. But, Susan, I couldn't help hearing those damn things. And sort of trying, sort of having somehow some little part of me wonder what that means when you live in a village in Iraq and you hear that sound and you know that mommy's gonna die now.
Yeah, or oh God, here comes the phosphorus.
Yeah.
Or the napalm. And anybody who thinks we haven't used it, there's another post on the blog about the siege of Fallujah, and I suggest you watch it.
Oh, yeah, plenty of phosphorus there.
First.
Susan, thank you very kindly.
You too, and you have a real nice day. I'm sorry to be such a downer.
No. That's okay. There's a reason we have these conversations. There's a reason we have these feelings. And they're not just generated because we're a bunch of commies.
No, I just...
They're generated out of conscience, Susan. At the end of the day, it's conscience.
Yeah, there's a pledge that the Not In Our Name site has that is really, really neat. You might want to check it out. It's a pledge.
Notinourname.org?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, notinourname.net.
Oh, .net, okay.
Yeah.
Notinourname.net.
Basically, no, we're not going to do this. Not In Our Name.
And yet they are.
Well, yeah, but we're disavowing it. Basically, it's the Nuremberg thing. We're saying this is not done in our name because if you don't say anything, you condone it.
That's true. That's true.
So people are standing up and saying, not in our name.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And it's time for the news. Jump in. Got a couple of lines open if you want to participate tonight. 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. This is the Head On Radio Network, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. A bipartisan resolution against the White House-mandated troop increase in Iraq introduced today on Capitol Hill. Two Republican senators have joined congressional Democrats in support of the bill. U.S. Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine said, quote, a military solution is no longer feasible in Iraq. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska is also backing the resolution. Several retired American generals testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today, criticizing President Bush's plan of a troop surge in Iraq. Meantime, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says that his government has detained 400 Shiite fighters from the Mahdi army, which is headed by anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. He also reportedly complained that the U.S. has not given the Iraqi security forces enough weapons or money for training. Violence, meantime, has surged in Baghdad over the past few days prior to the upcoming U.S.-Iraqi security crackdown. At least 19 people were killed in 6 bombings today. At least 31 were wounded. An American sailor died yesterday from a non-combat incident in southern Iraq, according to the U.S. military. The Associated Press reports that the Pentagon has come up with a manual with rules on upcoming detainee trials. It would allow hearsay evidence and coerced testimony to be used to convict suspected terrorists. A second U.S. soldier of 5 accused of raping and killing a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and her family will plead guilty to the crimes next month, according to his attorney. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and National Intelligence Director John Negroponte appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. They were asked details about the newly announced court review of the government's controversial domestic surveillance program. Defense Secretary Robert Gates continues to meet with leaders in the Persian Gulf. Today he accused the Iranians of overplaying their hand. Another U.S. aircraft carrier will arrive in the region next month, and more U.S. Patriot missiles are on the way as well. Parts of Texas and Oklahoma hit with sleet and snow today. Since last Friday, there have been at least 66 storm-related deaths in 9 states, from the Midwest to the East Coast. A stretch of Interstate 10 across 300 miles of Texas remains closed today. And popular newspaper columnist Art Buchwald died at home today at the age of 81. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news just ahead. Now this.
Huellhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does
yes.
that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps, because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both?
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says she'll create a special congressional committee to come up with new legislation to address global warming, and to promote America's energy independence. Her plan is to have the set of new laws passed by Independence Day of this year. In business, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke issued a strong warning to Congress today about long-term spending on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which will increase as the number of baby boomers in the U.S. retires. Commerce Department reported that new home construction was up in December by 4.5%. Number of jobless claims filed last week was down to an 11-month low, according to the Labor Department. That fell to 290,000. Labor Department reports there's been a slowdown in inflation to its best showing in 3 years. In 2006, consumer prices increased by 2.5%. The price per barrel of light sweet crude oil briefly dropped below $50 today, and now that is a 20-month low. Currently, light sweet crude oil is trading at $50.48 a barrel. That's down 176. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 10 points at 12,567. The NASDAQ down 36 points at 2443. The S&P 500 down 4 points at 1426. And there's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Seven minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob. I'm going to try to crawl up out of my moroseness, as this is. Maybe we'll have a little fun this hour. But when my children were being scared last night by the brave, heroic Navy fighter pilots who were going to go and bomb brown people, I'm sorry. I'm sure some right winger. See, he don't love America. He don't love bombing people from 40,000 feet who never did nothing to him. Screw him. But when Agnes and I were dealing with the kids, and like I said, maybe it's different if you live in a big city. Maybe it's different if there are huge, booming noises around you all the time. But this is a quiet place, a tranquil place, except when Don Blankenstein is blowing up mountains, and it's a different place in other parts of the state. I understand that completely. Our good friend Sue down on Big Coal River. Saw these fighter aircraft yesterday as well. They ran up the Big Coal Valley. And again, you know, what a great place to train for tactical flying through mountain gorges in Iran, and you know, within easy reach of the Norfolk Naval Air Station. But when those big noises were scaring the bejesus out of our children. Like I said, I guess it's just the kind of person that I am. But I couldn't help but wonder what that conversation sounds like in Arabic. And see, I had the luxury of saying to my children, they're not going to do you any harm. They're our guys. People there don't have that kind of luxury. The conversation we had the other night, we you, I, me. Conversation I had the other night with Mike Ferner. And his explanation of what it would be like if the proportion of Iraqis we have slaughtered was in the same proportion in the United States. All the places that would just be depopulated now. It's I don't know how you get through if you're one of these Republicans that supports this massive monstrous murder and mayhem. I don't know how you get to sleep at night, or how you can stand to get up in the morning, or how you can stand to get through a day. I simply don't. But no, there's something else. Every time, this is in a completely different vein. I've mentioned this a couple of times. I have simply got to get this out of my system. We're going to do a music thing right now. What's the term? An earworm? When you've got a song stuck in your head and it just plays and plays and plays and you can't get it out of your head? Well, I'm going to have a problem until we exorcise this little demon. News at QNN at this time. Is delivered by a lady named Barbara Lewis. And, of course, there's a great John Prine song. I'm helping Agnes find it right now. And I've got to play this so I can get this earworm out of my head. It is driving me batty. Because there is a, you know, John Prine has a reference to Barbara Lewis, and I'm a big John Prine fan, and we're all going to listen to this for a minute so we can hopefully get this out of my noggin. So, you know, bear with us while we do this. I'm sorry. This is highly unprofessional, but I won't be able to think. I won't be able to do anything until we do this and you know, the only a few years ago, Burger King. The burger thing. Had one of their breakfast croissant ads. That was that song, Good Morning, Starshine. And the chorus is Shabba Dabba Dooby, Dooby Wabba Dooby, Dabba Deeba Dabba La La Lolo. And that thing, every time that commercial would play, would get hung up inside my brain. Maybe it means that I need medication. But here now, for your enjoyment and for my sanity, the great, great, great John Prine. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna, Beauregard. Hit it, Agnes.
She was standing in the rain.
This is, I'm feeling so much better.
The coat under her arm, leaning on a horsehead cane. She said, Carl, take all the money. She called everybody Carl. My spirits broke, my mind's a joke, and getting up's real hard. Don't you know how, when you see her, she grew up in your backyard. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna, Beauregard.
selling Bibles at the airport, buying quaaludes on the phone. And you talk about a paper route, she's shut in without a home. God save her, please, she's nailed her knees to some drugstore parking lot. Hey, Mr. Brown, turn the volume down, I believe this evening shot. Don't you know how, if you see how, she grew up in your backyard.
Sing it!
Come back to us,
Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna Beauregard. Yeah, sometimes being married, you know, you think you know somebody. And, no, I'm not killing time. I'm getting this earworm out of my head. It's necessary. But you think you know somebody, and you wake up and they say something to you like, I hate John Prine. And you're like, who are you, and what have you done with my wife?
Don't let him kid you. It's not that I actually hate John Prine, but it's the obsessive-compulsive component of having someone say, find this song, and you just can't do it at a moment's notice. You all know what I'm talking about.
Who are you, and what have you done with my wife?
I'm a pod person. The fighter planes took me away.
I'd just about believe it. So we're all better now. Now we can run the news at the top of the hour, and I can hear that newscaster say, I'm Barbara Lewis, and I will not necessarily have those wonderful lines run through my brain like white hot wire. But there are some great lines in there. Did you? I mean, I'd forgotten about the fact that there's a really great reference. We'll have to use that song some more. There's a great for any time we bring up Carl Rove. She said, "Carl, take all the money." She called everybody Carl. But no, we're happy now. We're quiet. We're in our happy place. You know, me and that mouse in my pocket. And we can go, we can travel, if you will, to the Old Dominion, whose legislature is now in session, where there is a delegate in their House of Delegates, a 79-year-old, fine, upstanding. Oh, what did we agree a little bit ago that Republicans are scum? A fine, upstanding 79-year-old Republican member of the House of Delegates, a man by the name of Frank D. Hargrove. You've probably already heard about this, but I wasn't going to let this one pass by. An AP story from yesterday, day before maybe. A Virginia state legislator said black people should get over slavery. In an interview published Tuesday in the Daily Progress of Charlottesville, Virginia, Hargrove said slavery ended nearly 140 years ago with the Civil War, and added that, quote, our black citizens should get over it. You know, it's a hell of a note the day after Martin Luther King Day.
You dick!
Pretty much. Then he goes on, because, you know, that's not good enough. That's not enough. You know, with these right-wing racist Republicans, you know they're going to stick their foot in their mouth. The real question, though, is how they're going to get the other one in there with it. And having said that black folks need to get over slavery. Get over the fact that your, great-great-grandmother and grandfather were treated as property? Yeah, you need to get over that.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Yeah. But that wasn't enough. Because he had to go on and ask the great rhetorical question of the last 2,000 years. Are we going to force the Jews to apologize for killing Christ? Now, see, that's wrong on so many levels. We can start with the fact that this 79-year-old freak, why is this guy up and walking around and my 82-year-old dad's laying in the hospital bed dying? Where's the justice in that? Years old, and the best thing he can do with his life is ask whether or not we're going to force the Jews to apologize for killing Christ. Now, Delegate Dwight C. Jones is head of the Legislative Black Caucus in Virginia, and he says, when somebody tells me I should just get over slavery, I can only express my emotion by projecting that I am appalled, absolutely appalled. God. And then, well, there's another individual in that that body. Well, never mind.
That didn't work too well for Mel Gibson either, did it?
Well, no, he told the world to get over it too. He said, you know, everybody gets drunk and gets a DUI, okay? Everybody's now get over it.
Okay, so is this guy drunk?
No, he said, and that's the thing. That's why with the Mel Gibson thing, the whole, well, I was drunk and anti-Semitic, but I'm sober and I'm not. Yeah, that's why that doesn't work. Booze loosens up your inhibitions. Hey.
Okay, I'm not going there. So is this
Long Island iced tea, Agnes.
Shh. Is this senility working on this gentleman?
No, this is racism working on this gentleman. He is a gentleman.
Well, I'm being nice.
No. See, that's the problem. You can't be nice to these SOBs.
But, dear, I'm a lady. I'm not supposed to be, well, I mean, the one gentleman was appalled. Tell us how you really feel about that.
Well, but see, that's because he's a little classier than, or a lot classier than Hargrove. There's Delegate David Englund, E-N-G-L-I-N. He didn't take too kindly to Mr. Hargrove's remarks. He pointed out the fact that his grandparents were driven from their homes in Poland, quote, by people who believed that as Jews, we killed Christ. But wait, it gets better. When you're dealing with Republican racism, it's an onion. Layer upon layer upon layer, and it's onion all the way to the core. This is, This is not a Walla Walla sweet or whatever. This is no Vidalia onion. This is one of those really, really noxious, make you weep till it's gone onions. So Hargrove stands up after David Englund says this and said he didn't care about Englund's religion. I think your skin was a little too thin. This. To a person whose entire race was sought to be destroyed by the Nazis and Hitler and Himmler and that crowd, your skin was a little too thin. They made lampshades out of their skin. Thin enough for a lampshade. Oof. But this is what goes to show the truth of what Lee was talking about in the last hour. This is a racist nation. This is a nation that carries its biases in its breast pocket next to its heart. I think your skin was a little too thin there, boy. Well, I guess technically a racist like Hargrove would refer to him as Jew boy. This is, welcome, Virginia. This guy made these comments to in print the day after the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Now, there is not sufficient detail in this story for me to know what part of Virginia this freak represents. But I can't... When was he most recently reelected? Is he celebrating a brand new term that he won in November of 2006? Are the people in his district surprised at such conduct? And the next question, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on, is whether or not he will be returned in 2008. Now, in a just world, this man would be hounded from office.
Oh, you're violating his free speech rights.
Uh-uh. No, the First Amendment protects people from having their free speech rights impeded by government. So, I don't know. Is there a phone number? Frankly, I didn't go looking for it. Is there a phone number for Representative or Delegate? I'm sorry, Delegate Frank D. Hargrove. Should the phone just ring off the hook until Hargrove decides it's time for him to, you know how it is with Republicans, they decide to spend more time with my family. And then, having made those remarks, follows it up inside the chambers of the Virginia House of Delegates and told Delegate Englund that I think your skin is a little too thin. As lawmakers gasped and groaned, according to the Associated Press report. You know, sometimes I think, I don't mean to incur anyone's ire with this. Sometimes I think that while the impulse to create a holiday for Dr. King was the right impulse, I wonder if maybe we didn't do more harm than good. Because we isolated Dr. King and his message to one day a year. That's it. One day, don't have to worry about peace and social justice. The other 364, we do it all on one day in January. And that is how you neutralize the message. Not memorialize it, but neutralize it. I took his name in vain, and he called back. Our good friend Lee is back with us, calling from North Carolina. Agnes, can you bring Lee on the line? Agnes? Just a moment, please. All right, here we go. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program. Sorry about that.
This is Lee. This is Andrew.
Andrew, she did it to you again.
Yeah.
God.
No. What was his name? Frank what? D. what?
Hargrove.
Hargrove? Well, Frank D. Hargrove, Delegate Frank D. Hargrove in Virginia, you can kiss my black ass. And, you know, I try and not dwell on the slavery issue. You know, most people try and let that go. You know, that's a bad part of American history that, you know, just, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. But when you have remnants of that era, you know, being brought back up, you know, into the 21st century, and they just can't let it go. You know, he's just I'm not going to say it, even though I could. It just, you know, it's appalling. And, you know,
know, it's people like that where, like Lee was saying before.
Why is this guy allowed in polite society, Andrew?
I don't know. Because they want that, apparently. I don't know. He disgusts me, okay? He goes and makes a comment like that, you know, a day after Martin Luther King Jr.'s, you know, holiday and everything, you know, and everything like that. We're trying to honor a very honorable man. And he comes out with saying something like that. That is just, that just shows what he's all about.
Well, and yeah, and to tell a Jew his skin was too thin.
Yeah.
It's all about skin with these freaks.
Well, that's all they are. It's nothing but a bag of skin because they have nothing up top. They have no brain matter. I mean, they're nothing but full of hatred and just, they're just scum. But, you know, it pissed me off, you know, and I got over it. You know, it took me 24 hours, but I did. And I'm going to put that and bury that again, you know, because I don't dwell on that. You know, let's move forward. Not about, they always look in the past.
Yeah, but shine a light on these guys.
Look in the past.
You know, the only way you find the cockroaches is by turning the light on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they love to turn the light on themselves, you know. They turn the light on. That's the only cockroaches I know that can flip a light switch, you know. Gee.
Well,
sit down and shut up. But
you know,
sit down and shut the hell up.
But see, the thing is, I think this is, and I, you know, the Republicans I talk to from time to time, although they are few and far between. Well, you know, that's a generalization, Bob. You can't say that about all Republicans just because there's people like Frank Hargrove out there. And then you start, okay, we'll generalize about, okay, it's specific to Frank Hargrove, and it's specific to Trent Lott, and it was specific to Strom Thurmond, and it's specific to Jesse Helms, and it was specific to George Wallace and Lester Maddox, and it is specific to Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions III.
Oh, God, Jeff Sessions.
Of Alabama.
Oh.
You know, this is, you know, I love telling the story because I think it should be more widely known. Some years back, Jeff Sessions got a federal judgeship torpedoed. This was before he ran for Senate. Got a federal judgeship torpedoed when it came out that he had made the remark, and I quote, "You know, I used to think Klan was pretty cool till I found out they smoked dope."
Incredible. I don't know. But as Lee was saying, you know, Barack Obama, like Lee was saying, you know, like, you know, the Republicans and their leader trying to pump up Obama and Obama. Yes, you know, should he be elected or could he be elected in a perfect world? In a non-racist America? Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? I mean, he has some things about him and whatever, things he said or whatever.
Well, you know,
things I don't agree with, whatever.
Well, people say, you know, he's got very little experience. The man sat in the Illinois legislature for 8 years.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
There's experience right there. I mean, he's got more experience than Bush.
Well, right. It's not like he went from selling, you know, Electrolux vacuum cleaners one day and the next day he says, you know, I'm going to go to the Senate. You know, the man's Harvard educated. He's got all the credentials.
But it's not going to happen. And I don't know how he's going to get through South Carolina.
Well, not just electorally. We're talking about alive.
Yeah, pretty much. He might not even have to. I wouldn't advise him to even visit South Carolina. But, you know, they won't even serve Italians down there, from what I heard. Because I know a person that went down to South Carolina. Pulled into this restaurant and tried to order up some dinner. They were on their way to Disneyland or Disney World or whatever down the floor.
Yeah.
And the lady came up to him and he went to place his order. She heard his accent, said it was too northern for her and that he would have to take his liberal behind out of there.
What?
I'm not serving you. Get out. And he had a group of about 10 people with him.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He said he couldn't even believe it. He said, I will never step foot in South Carolina again.
Well,
and he was Italian.
You know, South Carolina's been a problem for a long time. And, and we've got listeners there and friends there. But
I know, but he ran up on the wrong one. And I told him, I said, well, maybe you just ran up on the wrong one, you know, and that's what it sounds like. But, I mean, it's where there's one, there's more.
Well, remember, the guy... the guy who developed the Bob Corker ads that every time they said the name Harold Ford, they played jungle drums. The guy that did ad, he left, and he also worked with the Bush campaign, but he's left the Corker campaign now, and he is signed on with John McCain, Andrew.
Oh, that's fitting. Well, he's right where he should be then. I mean,
and if anybody doesn't think that they've already got the drum loops going for Barack Obama, I'm sorry, you have to say Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, Barack Hussein Obama, whatever the way they're spinning it, it's just whatever. But yes, Barack Obama in a non-Bush world, and then the climate, like Leah said, that the Bush administration, this current Bush administration, has created, not a chance in heck.
No.
Not a chance. And the same thing with Hillary. And I said it before, no. A woman is not being elected president of the United States of America. It's not going to happen.
We've made a substantial step with Nancy Pelosi as speaker.
Exactly.
And
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But right now, okay, we didn't hit that, benchmark, and leave it at that, because, the male elite in this country is not going to let a woman become president, nor a black man.
I think that's the bottom line.
It's just not going to happen. I mean, that would be the Republicans' greatest. If Barack Obama...
What about Condi Rice, Andrew?
Who?
Andrew's going to throw something.
Huh?
You're going to throw something in a minute.
Condi Rice? See, you just right now, I got a headache now.
Yeah, I know.
Condi Rice, no. Not, let alone a black woman, no.
Well, see,
something sad for me to think like that, but that's just the way it is, And we all know that's the way it is.
And the funny thing, my objections to Condoleezza Rice, I can proudly say, have nothing to do with either race or gender.
No, it's her character.
I don't vote for, I don't vote for idiots.
I don't vote for fascists.
Yeah.
we've
had nearly eight years with a highly incompetent individual in the White House. We don't need any more. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the political campaign, Andrew. Competence first.
She gets on my nerves to no end. I can't stand her and her. Oh.
Well, she was in Kuwait.
Yeah, and she has an oil tanker named after her too, right?
That's true. And the Emir of Kuwait sat her down and said, "Please, will you please enter into a dialogue with the Syrians and the Iranians?" And so she gives a press conference in Germany, I think, yesterday, where she said, "This is not the time to end several decades of historic non-communication with with Iran." And every time she opens her mouth, I just want to, I wonder
know,
why...
I know exactly what you're saying. I can't even... It's like, I have a hard time just reading it. Like, if I'm reading a story where she's saying something, and it's just like, it makes me want to vomit. I mean, just a complete...
Well, if she wasn't so deadly in her incompetence, she would be hilarious.
Yeah, and sellouts know, being a sellout knows no racial boundaries. Okay, she is a complete, utter sellout to her people. She went shopping for shoes when people were dying in the Gulf Coast.
Ferragamos.
Yeah. And then she took in a play, took in some Broadway theater.
Mm-hmm.
Had somebody tossed out because they called her on it when she was in one of the stores. She is a scumbag. She's a fascist scumbag, and she's totally incompetent at her job. How can you have somebody who is the Secretary of State that doesn't want to open up dialogue?
Here we are in a world where the biggest issue, regardless of how you look at it, the biggest issue is the West's interaction with the Middle East.
Yeah.
That's simply the largest issue in the world today. So who does George Bush select as a Secretary of State after Colin Powell? He selects a woman who majored in Soviet studies. There's no such thing as a Soviet anymore.
No. No such thing as...
I mean,
is no more. But
that literally is the same thing as getting advice on a Porsche from a buggy whip manufacturer.
Yeah, but she's just... incompetent. She's not incompetent. She's willfully incompetent. She knows she's doing wrong. She knows it, but she's going to line her pockets.
And she looks good doing it. She's wrong, but she's looking really good doing it.
Yeah, just willfully incompetent. And, you know, everybody's, like, talking about the Sunnis and the Shias, but nobody's really talking about the Kurds. And, you know...
And the Kurds are happy about that.
Yeah, well, for now. But wait until that hydrocarbon law gets passed, and then we'll see a whole bunch of things going on up there in the Kurdish-controlled regions of Iraq. Because Kirkuk is an oil hub.
Yeah.
The oil hub of Iraq.
Sure.
And all hell's going to break loose. I mean, you've been started seeing some of it now recently at the ending of last year, you know, from the middle of last year to now. You started seeing, you know, suicide bombs and all this stuff. But once that hydrocarbon law gets passed, Kirkuk's going to go up. It's going to be boom. It's just going to be more sectarian. It's going to be another front.
And that's, you know, that's the eternal question, Andrew. Do they know this and they want it to happen, or are they just stupidly incompetent?
No, I think they want it to happen. They got to have it happen. It has to happen. It has to happen. They're not going to let the Kurds keep that control of that up there. No. They're not going to let them keep that. They're not going to say, like, oh, well, you're going to, you know, have the Kurds. We're going to let y'all keep control of Kirkuk and the oil hub up there. No, that's not going to happen. That's going to be a third front, and our soldiers are going to be trapped and have to deal with that also. Because that's all it's about. It's about the oil. That's it. It's about that hydrocarbon law and those production sharing agreements, and that's it. That's the bottom line. They could give a damn about setting up a democracy.
Oh no, we gave up democracy, that silly notion, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's about the oil, and that's it.
And the control of the oil.
Exactly. And lining their pockets.
And frankly, you know, let's go ahead and say it in advance, because I'm sure the right wingers have already got their argument, their so-called counter arguments prepared. Iran has absolutely nothing to do with nuclear ambition.
No.
It has to do with controlling the other side of the Shatt al-Arab waterway,
exactly.
And the other side of the Straits of Hormuz,
exactly.
And the other side of the Persian Gulf.
Exactly. To get the oil down south, we got to move it down there so they can funnel it out.
And we've already got our business deals in place with Dubai.
Yep.
Who would be more than happy, you know, because if you go and you look, you know, there's not a whole lot to Dubai.
No.
Or the United Arab Emirates in general. It's just not a very big place.
No.
So it's not, you know, they can't pump a lot of oil, but you know what? They've proven themselves to be experts, Andrew, absolute experts being middlemen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's nothing but a place to conduct business.
Yeah. And again, it's straight out of The Godfather. It's when Tessio looks at Tom and says, "Tell Michael it was only business."
Yeah. That's all it is. That's just the business center for them.
And they will be more than happy to administer the oil rights of the Iranian people.
And that's it.
Because after all, see, there's so many, you know, we talk about these things, Andrew. We talk about them on this program. They're talked about on other liberal programs.
Mm-hmm.
They're never talked about on right-wing radio, and God knows, I don't think they're even talked about at the State Department or in, God knows, in the White House. There is a historic, you know, we're sitting here having a conversation about racism. There is a racial component to the Middle East, you know, George Bush, it's all Arabs.
Yep, it's all Arabs.
Well, it's not.
No, it's not.
There's
a cornucopia. It's not all Arabs.
Well, the Saudis are the Saudis are the biggest racists outside the United States. Because as keepers of the Islamic holy places, they look down their noses at anyone who is not from there. You know, that, you know, you ain't from around here, are you?
Mm-hmm.
That applies very much. They despise the Persians because the Persians aren't Arabs.
Yep.
They despise the Afghans. They're not Arabs. They look down, you know, there is a you're not an Arab racist component to Islam that is very seldom mentioned. And anybody is welcome. I mean, you know, you listen to the program. Anybody's welcome to believe what they want to believe.
Yes, and I'm all for it. You believe what you want to believe. But
we can also comment on the problems that are apparent in other places.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is, the Saudis would love nothing better The UAE people would love nothing better.
It's just like the United Kingdom. Irish, Scots, English, it's the same thing. It's all differences. There's differences. There's subtleties to the Middle East. But the way this administration and the way the right-wing radio and right-wing media puts it out there, they're all the same.
Well, right, and it's the same, and again, coming back to it, it's the same kind of racism. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, they all look alike to me. That's what they, I mean, that's the bottom line of all of this.
Yes, their skin is this shade, so they're all the same.
Yeah. And the fact, you know, the fact of the matter is, that does not apply to Iran.
No. No, it does not.
And, you know, the religious differences between the Sunni and the Shia are very real. And the cultural differences between ethnic Persians and ethnic Arabs is very, very real.
Yeah. And you can see that, you know, you can just see right in Iraq. I mean, you got the Shia and the Sunnis going at it. I mean, it's like, hey, the differences are there. The differences have been there for centuries and thousands of millennia, and they're going to continue to be there. And you can't lump all these people into one group and say, oh, they're all Arabs.
And create a one-size-fits-all solution, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to work. You're never going to have peace. And even when we leave, there still won't be peace.
No.
I mean, it may quiet, but there'll always be that undertone. There'll always be that underlying issue.
Peace happens.
And it will forever be there.
Peace happens when peace grows from within.
Yes.
Peace happens to people who want peace.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that, you know, there are places where that urge is not present. However, there's another story out there, Andrew, that says that the Israelis and the Syrians got together in secret. Did you see this thing?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the Israelis and the Syrians got together in secret and began planning, working on peace between Israel and Syria.
That's a good thing.
Well, yeah, that would be a, it would be a good thing.
A good thing.
would have been a good thing.
Yeah.
But the other part of the story is that Dick Cheney got involved and put the kibosh on all of it.
Hey, and chaos, you know, they love chaos.
You know, and this isn't from, you know, this isn't from WD40.com or anything or BuzzFlash or any of the other liberal websites.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Haaretz.
Oh, so that's straight from the horse's mouth.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Uncle Dick said, no, 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 we're not going to have any peace between Israel and Syria.
Well, I don't know.
And there's another story out there that the Iranians reached out in 2003 to the United States, the Department of State.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I know that.
Offered to help stabilize Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Offered to end hostilities.
Mm-hmm.
Made a number of offers, and again, Uncle Dick, not George. I mean, these stories are very clear. But it was Dick Cheney who said, uh-oh.
But you know what? Remember when, you know, Shrub got up on there on the aircraft carrier in San Diego and said, mission accomplished?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, like, he could have got away, if he had played it right, this is what shows you what greed does, how greed and stupidity don't mix. He could have played it right and started rebuilding Iraq, put it in a legitimate government, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, say, well, okay, we didn't destroy your country, so we're going to help you rebuild it. We'll take, you know, 20%, you know, and he could have still opened up Iraq's oil reserves to privatization. All he had to do was say, well, we'll take 15-20% of the profits, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
You're rebuilding the country. You quiet everything down, you know. And they could have made a ton of money. The oil industry could have made a ton of money. American people might have been, you know, for it. Got Saddam Hussein out of power, you know, captured Saddam Hussein. And they could have, but no, they want 75%. They're so greedy that they're stupid. You know, it's just greed and stupidity don't mix. And you're always going to get caught. And it's always, and the truth is always going to come out. But they could have done right by the Iraqi people. The Iraqi people might have said, okay, you know, help us out. You know, we'll give 80% of the oil revenue to the country of Iraq, to the people of Iraq, for a certain number of years, and we'll bring online, you know, and help you build up your oil industry and, you know, bring everything back online, and we'll take 20%, which ExxonMobil and BP and Chevron and Shell and all those companies, they would have made a ton of money and come out smelling like a rose. But their greed, they want it all.
Yeah, some is not enough.
Greed. And greed and stupidity does not mix. Okay?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, you had to, like you said, Iran was willing to help. Who knows? Iran would have been like, okay.
Yeah, these people forget that one of the first people to send condolences on 9/11.
Yeah.
Was Iran.
Yeah.
Now, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not necessarily ascribing any great goodness to them. Maybe that was their way of saying, hey, we didn't do this.
Bush was king for a day. He was king for a day. September 12th, 2001, he was king for a day.
That was the best day of his life.
He had the opportunity to quell everything. Because, like you said, Iran was on our side, you know. They were, like, saying this was a heinous act. We could have captured some of bin Laden.
Yeah, because, again, it's worth remembering, the Iranian religious fanatics hate the Osama religious fanatic element.
Yeah.
You know, all the hogwash about al-Qaeda in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Shia and Wahhabi are like water and oil.
Yep.
They don't mix. They won't mix.
No.
They don't want to have anything to do with one another.
No.
And yet we treat them as if it's all, you know, it's all of a piece, and it's not.
No, it's not. But he was king for a day, and we were the victim. And, you know, they had a chance to get everybody together on the same, you know, everybody would have been on the same page. Say, we want peace, you know, let's work together and capture Osama bin Laden and be done with it. Okay?
Yep.
But that wasn't in their plan, because greed was in their plan, and their plan was to steal Iraq's oil, period. And now they want to attack Iran so they can get that oil that they have stolen to their friends in Dubai so they can launder it for them. And that's the bottom line.
And how many
our
will
soldiers are paying a blood subsidy, and they're using our soldiers as a blood subsidy to the oil industry, which is just disgusting, the way they're abusing and misusing our military.
Well, you know, and it's so easy to figure out. I mean, it seems fairly simple, doesn't it?
It is simple. It is simple.
So it's a classic case of there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Pretty much.
Well, I think we've got to continue to holler it from the rooftops, because everything I see, Andrew says, we get a shiny new war with Iran.
Yeah.
And the story, and you know, I don't know about the rest of America, because I think the folks that I talk with in this program and who email and things like that, they're plugged in. You're plugged in. We're paying attention. I don't know if the rest of America heard that story last week that said that the Israelis are actually actively plotting a nuclear first strike against Iran. Because I read that and my blood ran cold.
Yeah, the Israeli government is totally out of control. They're right on board with the Bush administration. And it's not the Israeli people. It's the Israeli government. They have a bunch of teenagers over there too.
But I can't figure it for the life of me, Andrew. If these right wingers believe the crap that they put out there, that, you know, oh, there's hundreds of Al Qaeda sleeper cells in the United States, do these dumbasses not realize that it's going to activate every one of those so-called sleeper cells the minute that we start?
No, they don't know that, because they're not plugged in. I mean, they can't see, you know, the forest for the trees. It's like you said, they are not plugged in. And you have the nutball Armageddonists that want this to go down, because their lives are so miserable, and they're saying, like, oh, my life is so miserable, I can't wait till I'm raptured out of here. Yeah, just kill off all those Iraqis, just, you know, pile the stairway of corpses so Jesus can walk down the stairway of corpses and come rapture us out of here. That's all they care about.
Oh, God.
I know one personally.
And that's
all she cares about. This is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be sitting in a gold chair next to Jesus. That's all they care about. Okay? They don't care about... I don't care. They don't care how many people get killed over there. If Jesus is going to come back, kill how many it will take.
Lord.
Yeah. That's the way they think.
That's, again, it makes my blood run cold.
Yeah.
I read an alternate story the other day, earlier today, Andrew, about this Reverend John Hagee.
Mm-hmm.
That created...
Yeah, we looked at that one, yeah.
Yeah. Created this committee of something-something for Israel, or C-U-I-F, or was the acronym for it. And he'll tell you outright that the key to bringing, making... You know, I don't know. There's like some Rube Goldberg device in heaven, and Jesus is sitting on an ejection seat or something. And the thing that pushes the button is us attacking Iran, and boom.
Yeah.
You know, but what's John Hagee going to say when that doesn't happen?
I don't know. I don't know what he's going to say, and I don't care. But I don't care what he says. He's just going to unleash hell, and we're all going to be sitting down here, Armageddonists included, all the rapture writers included, saying, we're going to be saying, yeah, see what you've done? Where's Jesus at? You're still sitting here, ain't you?
But the thing is, even then, they won't back off of it.
No, they won't, because they're psycho. They're crazy. They are absolutely crazy.
Well,
and they can believe whatever they want to believe.
We miscalculated by a cubit. It's next week.
Yeah. They can believe whatever they want to believe, but when they start dictating geopolitical issues and foreign policy and making war issues based on that, based on Armageddon, I got a problem with that big time.
Well, yeah. Jesus.
You know, because they have a lot of influence with this executive branch we have.
Oh, you know, that alternate article... made it clear that John Hagee, he's got this mega church in San Antonio.
Yeah, 5,000 members or something like that.
Yeah, he can call the president when he wants to.
Yeah, like he's some kind of spiritual advisor. Yeah, go on and attack. Go on. Go and attack Iran. Please do, yes.
And the president is so insane that this insane guy can say to the other insane guy, listen, after the bombs go off, it's going to get really cool because Jesus is going to ride a horse out of the clouds. And George Bush is so insane, he goes, you really think that's going to happen? Oh, I do. Well, then we're going to have to just do that because I don't want to miss that.
It is written. You're just fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-mm.
You are the chosen one. Oh man, these people make me sick.
Oh boy, this is where we'd play the clip from Highland. There can be only one, and I'm it. Oh God.
Oh, I gotta go, Bob.
All right, Andrew, take it easy. Talk to you soon.
All right then.
Take your medicine.
Yep.
Bye. Later. Bye now. Not in our name, huh? All this is being plotted in our name. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. Jump on in, 877-443-2366. We'll be back after the news.
Like the sermon on the mountain, says the Dharma got the thumb. Hellfire and brimstone, swap for oil and guns. When we're pushing up daisies, we all look the same. Higher ground, Jacob.
This is the Quality News Network. A bipartisan resolution against the White House-mandated troop increase in Iraq introduced today on Capitol Hill. Two Republican senators have joined congressional Democrats in support of the bill. U.S. Senator Olympia Snow of Maine said, quote, a military solution is no longer feasible in Iraq. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska is also backing the resolution. Several retired American generals testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today, criticizing President Bush's plan of a troop surge in Iraq. Meantime, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says that his government has detained 400 Shiite fighters from the Mahdi army, which is headed by anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. He also reportedly complained that the U.S. has not given the Iraqi security forces enough weapons or money for training. Violence, meantime, has surged in Baghdad over the past few days prior to the upcoming U.S.-Iraqi security crackdown. At least 19 people were killed in six bombings today. At least 31 were wounded. An American sailor died yesterday from a non-combat incident in southern Iraq, according to the U.S. military. The Associated Press reports that the Pentagon has come up with a manual with rules on upcoming detainee trials. It would allow hearsay evidence and coerced testimony to be used to convict suspected terrorists. A second U.S. soldier of five accused of raping and killing a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and her family will plead guilty to the crimes next month, according to his attorney. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and National Intelligence Director John Negroponte appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. They were asked details about the newly announced court review of the government's controversial domestic surveillance program. Defense Secretary Robert Gates continues to meet with leaders in the Persian Gulf. Today he accused the Iranians of overplaying their hand. Another U.S. aircraft carrier will arrive in the region next month, and more U.S. Patriot missiles are on the way as well. Parts of Texas and Oklahoma hit with sleet and snow today. Since last Friday, there have been at least 66 storm-related deaths in nine states, from the Midwest to the East Coast. A stretch of Interstate 10 across 300 miles of Texas remains closed today. And popular newspaper columnist Art Buchwald died at home today at the age of 81. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news just ahead. Now this.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does
yes.
that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps, because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says she'll create a special congressional committee to come up with new legislation to address global warming, and to promote America's energy independence. Her plan is to have the set of new laws passed by Independence Day of this year. In business, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke issued a strong warning to Congress today about long-term spending on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which will increase as the number of baby boomers in the U.S. retires. Commerce Department reported that new home construction was up in December by 4.5%. Number of jobless claims filed last week was down to an 11-month low, according to the Labor Department. That fell to 290,000. Labor Department reports there's been a slowdown in inflation to its best showing in 3 years. In 2006, consumer prices increased by 2.5%. The price per barrel of light sweet crude oil briefly dropped below $50 today, and now that is a 20-month low. Currently, light sweet crude oil is trading at $50.48 a barrel. That's down 176. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 10 points at 12,567. The NASDAQ down 36 points at 2443. The S&P 500 down 4 points at 1426. And there's more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, apparently the exorcism worked because I can now hear her say, "I'm Barbara Lewis," and I don't immediately have to run the entire lyric through my head. I'm feeling all better. We're going straight to the phones in 1 second. Just a quickie to let you know, the guy who made those remarks, Frank Hargrove, on the floor of the Virginia House of Delegates and in the press, even among other things, he's a Methodist. And he is also a former board member of, get this, the Hanover Mental Health Association. Makes you feel kind of sorry for the people of Hanover, Virginia. To the phones, our good friend Angelica calls in all the way from Germany. Hey, Angelica, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm not Barbara Lewis, I have to tell you.
And, you know, I'm so glad.
Ich grüße dich, wie geht es dir? I just called to tell you that you and Andrew just have no idea. You just don't know what's wrong with Condi.
Okay.
And I will clue you in, okay?
All right.
Because I've seen the footage today on, when she was walking up to the podium next to Angela, and her shoes are uncomfortable. And that's it. You know, she's just very, you know, she takes those tiny little steps, and her feet are oozing out of her tiny little chic shoes. And, you know, and her butt sticking out ahead wide, you know, mile wide, because she's got back pain from these shoes. And her face is all grimaced because of them, you know, and that's it. If she wore comfortable shoes, she wouldn't be looking like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, sore feet will make you cranky.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I can tell her by her walk, she just, you know, she just tiny little steps, you know, and... She just like a wound up doll, you know. So.
Well, how did she get on with Chancellor Merkel?
Just very generic.
Really? Well, okay. Yeah. Well, okay,
it's
she didn't.
All
she,
very congenial.
No back rubs.
Huh?
No back rubs.
Well, who knows? No. No. Not this time. But you know, who knows? George might be on his way again. You never know. But I have to tell you something, you know, that's on my mind when you, on a less pleasant side, I think, when you say, well, you can't just bomb, go ahead and bomb Iran a little bit, you know, you just can't do that because then all hell is going to break loose. Trust me on that.
Oh, I know.
You know, and...
These fools have some idea that they can just run a bombing campaign over Iran and that there won't be any consequences.
You know, and what's going to happen, those resistance forces that are still in place now in Iran, they are definitely going to ally with the mullahs, you know, anybody attacking their country, because they have a very nationalistic mindset, and, you know, they have the right to do it. They are proud people, and they have every right to be proud. And they would band together. Now, that would...
And yet we have, Angelica, insane people in the halls of our government who think that if we start bombing Iran, that the opposition is going to rise up and yell hooray.
Well, that is just, you know, because they don't have the brains, they don't have the knowledge, the history, they have nothing to put the dots together, and how this whole structure works in the Middle East, they have no idea. And, you know, what's going to happen is the war is actually, that's going to break out, is not going to take place right in that region, but it'll be all over the world. They will be bombing, oil tankers will be attacked, and the oil fields of Arabia, I imagine, would be a good target.
Well, that's why the United States are sending all those Patriot missile batteries to Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates.
You can't guard every oil tanker that's on the world on the oceans. You just can't.
No.
So, and that's going to be, you know, it's going to put the whole world it'll just really do us in, you know, what Iran...
Well, I just, you know, I looked at a map last night, Angelica, and just looked at where Iran sits.
Yeah.
And, you know, their northern border is with Russia.
Well, the old part of Russia, you mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's
the old Soviet Union. Well, there comes there goes Condi's Soviet style. What did you call her? And
well, she was a Soviet studies specialist.
Soviet studies.
That's how she got to be doc. You know, I guess what Fräulein Doctor.
Fräulein Doctor. Frau Doktor, you don't. There is no such thing as a Fräulein anymore.
Oh, okay.
Date it.
Oh, okay. So, okay, well, oh, all right.
You know, you don't rub it in.
We're all Herr Doktor now.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Frau Doktor.
Oh, Frau Doktor. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, that scenario. But another thing, you know, those. When was it? 2 days ago. I lost track of thought, but, you know, I'll give you these numbers because that really bothers me, is the, you know, the UN numbers that were put out. Was it a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I think so, within the last couple.
Uh-huh. So the 35,000 Iraqis that died in civilians in 2006, and a lot of them, and the UN, because they've been so minimized there because Bush has not been able to guarantee their security. And Kofi Annan, of course, said, well, we're not sending anyone after he had his people killed if you can't provide the security for us, you know, and that's it. So they just got a handful of people over there now, but, you know, basically just guarding themselves and you know, and looking out for their own security. And but they do some work and visit hospitals and morgues and try to find out, you know, the death count that's happening. And what's basically happening is a lot of those Iraqi civilians, they're not just from Anschläge, you know, from these what's the word? Help me out. You know, these car bombs and, you know, these attacks.
Yeah.
Suicide attacks or whatever.
Yeah.
They're actually shown signs of torture. So they have been tortured. So this is what's going on. People are getting killed, and they're mostly Sunnis, of course, being killed by the majority of the Shiites. And there is your civil war.
And we don't have the first clue about the dynamic operating between these groups.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this war was. I can't imagine a so-called world leader who would engage in something like this without trying to understand the minutia.
Well, have you looked in his face lately?
Oh yeah.
Well, then you know.
Oh, there's the phone's ringing, but there's nobody answering.
Well, exactly. So there is your answer, you know, for as far as his brain capacity. To unravel and basically to have stung into or put your hands into this beehive and
expect not to get stung.
Yeah, and what's really sad is because the Sunnis, they are a very, very endangered people now, and there's going to be ethnic cleansing in this country, and it's going on already, and it's just, you know, that really makes me sad, very, very sad.
Well, it's sad, and it's also terrifying.
Yeah.
Because that sort of thing has an ugly habit of spreading.
Well, and where are they going to go? Probably Iraq's going to end up in a three-state, you know.
Yeah, the Kurdish north, the Sunni middle, and the Shia south. Sure.
Yes, Kurds and the Shia. Of course, the Kurds get all the oil, so that's going to be not pleasant and acceptable to the others. But I mean, the Turks and the Kurds and the Shiites. Do you call them Shiites too in English?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Shia or Shiites.
Okay, and the Sunnis, you know, but you'd have to build walls around them so that they couldn't get each other.
Well, and the thing
get at each other, you know.
And this has ramifications for the EU as well, because I suppose there's still a Turkish petition pending for full EU membership. And,
No. That's not it.
Is that all over now?
No. It's not for full. It's only for even negotiating talks.
Right, that's
but we're far from, you know.
But, you know, the Turks would like to be a part of the EU.
Yes.
And they bear no love for the Kurds.
No.
Nor the Kurds for them.
No,
and
if the Kurds have always wanted their own state.
And if the Kurds get their own state, the Turks are going to get very, very nervous.
Yeah.
And the thing
because
is,
they're going to lose some of their, they would want some of their country then too, Turks.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they would basically probably go into war too. Yeah. You know?
I mean, what I'm trying to get at is there are ripples in this pond that I fear that the so-called leaders of this nation have not even contemplated.
Which nation?
The United States.
they're just so out of it. They have no idea. Who? Tell me who.
Well,
who?
Right.
It's so, you know, and this is the guy with the finger on the trigger, basically pointing it at us. And
there's plenty to be scared of. There's a news report today that the Chinese have successfully launched a rocket that shot a satellite out of orbit.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what the Chinese are up to, don't you? They're, you know, really fraternizing with Sudan, and not so much for the oil, which is already there, too. Well, you know, the United States is, you know, so busy in Iraq. They're really building infrastructure in Sudan and helping the people and making nice. And guess what? They're after the uranium. They do not only have oil, but they have uranium there and plenty of it. And you know what the Chinese need that for, don't you?
Well, certainly. And the thing is that at this point, the Chinese can just sit back, because after all, the Bush family is dear friends with the Chinese leadership.
Well.
They are.
As long as they trade.
But the Chinese can just sit back and watch us destroy ourselves and then move into the power vacuum.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it now, but it goes largely unnoticed because they're so busy and bogged down otherwise, you know. And so that worries me too. That, you know, what's going to happen there. It
Well, you've got the Russians selling missile systems to Iran.
Uh-huh.
You've got the Chinese developing missile systems that will shoot satellites out of space. Very little consideration is given to how fragile, Angelica, how very fragile our entire technological system truly is.
Yeah.
And I get the idea that the Chinese know that if they needed to do so, they know where and how to hurt us without making anything blow up on American soil.
Well, so do the Russians.
Sure.
All they have to do is because they hold the oil and the gas, natural gas resources, and that's why Putin is you know marching on the stage like this little dictator that he is, and then killing off dissident journalists like Anna Politkovskaya. Nobody talks about that, apparently.
Right. She was, in fact...
She was murdered in cold blood.
Right, and it was her murder that Litvinenko was...
Well, yeah, exactly. He was investigating that, I think.
Yes, right? He was.
He was investigating Chechenian. What Putin is doing over there and his crew. So Politkovskaya, she was basically... just one of them, because there's so many other journalists that have already been killed in Russia, and it just seems to, you know, because nobody opens their mouths, because we're basically all prostituting ourselves for the oil and the gas from that country, and Putin is holding the Trump cards, and I just hate that thought, and basically the same thing the United States is doing. Because you may have oil, but you know, with the kind of consumption that you have, you need to get it from elsewhere.
Right.
Unless you find a way to live a little more frugally and
the sad thing is that frugality, I have no problem saying, Angelica, that frugality is not something that we will voluntarily engage in. It will only be forced on us.
Well, no, because you feel that it's your constitutional right to pursue happiness and to waste energy.
Well, in a way, though, you say a constitutional right. I might differ with you a little bit. Because the nature of the people who are running the show here don't think it's a matter of the Constitution. If you listen to George Bush's words very clearly, whenever he goes off on one of those little binges talking about liberty, he will tell you that it comes from God. And so the people that are doing the greatest harm to this country are people who think that it is God's will that we burn every last hydrocarbon available on the planet. And that makes it even more dangerous.
He actually says that?
Yeah, he says freedom is a gift from God.
Uh-huh.
When, okay. You know, the entire history of social politics suggests that, whether it's Rousseau or Hobbes or Locke or any of those people who talked about liberty and on which the Declaration of Independence and some of the constitutional theory was founded, they never mentioned freedom or liberty as something, as some sort of religious construct, but that is how deep the religious the poison has gotten in this country. You're a long way away. You probably might not be that familiar with them, but if you read up on the Christian Dominionists, you will find that the Dominionists believe they're called Dominionists because they believe that it is their God-given right to have dominion over the earth.
Oh, I don't know. All I know is we had Scientologists now open with big fanfare a center in Berlin this week, and people were protesting, and we don't want them, Scientology, and it's just a criminal organization, and, you know, taking people's money. And so they're not going to succeed, but they're going to try. So,
well, do a little. I think you'll be fascinated to read up on them.
On the Scientology?
No, Christian Dominionism and Christian Reconstructionism. They are not the same thing, but they have similarities.
Reconstructionism.
And when you read up on these American movements, you will understand why the American government behaves the way that it does, because it is fully under the sway of this kind of thinking.
And with what purpose then, ultimately?
Well, the purpose is to live within God's plan, because God expects them to dominate the earth.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of crackpot crank science within this bunch. Some of them believe that oil isn't actually an organic substance, that there is unlimited amounts of oil. The reason the Dominionists...
Are those the same people who think the earth is 6,000 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. Say no more.
Yeah, right.
I understand.
But the thing is, it's crazy and it's crackpot, but it has also got its tentacles around the very beating heart of American government.
Uh-huh. Well, this is wacko to me.
It is.
Sorry.
It is. I
can't take that seriously, but, you know, the problem is...
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people, Angelica, have not taken it seriously.
Yeah, and look what they're doing anyway.
Yeah.
I mean...
So I believe, you know, I at least believe in mentioning them and shining some kind of a light on them.
Well, you know, of course, missionaries, these wackos, these Baptists or whatever, those born-again wackos, they come over here too, and then... But there is not much success. People are pretty much grounded in Protestant or Catholic Church here, so they. But another thing, though, I've found, that they have found prisons now. They've got, these prisons that they're not holding, that they're holding people without trial in the States, and they've got about 31,000 prisoners in Iraq. And even though the U.S. says there are only about 24,000 or so, but they're actually, so, you know, those are U.N. numbers. And I tend to believe them more than what your government puts out. And there are 31,000 people in prison without trial, without charge, and without...
Without hope.
Without hope. So basically this seems to be standard practice then, isn't it?
Well, it is, and frankly, you know, we, I don't.
Exported it then, huh?
You know, we'll call them residential detention centers and things like that. But we're, you know, we've still got union lawyers who still do not know what happened to a group of workers at a meatpacking plant, a number of meatpacking plants. We don't know where they went. They were just disappeared by the Department of Homeland Security.
What do you mean?
Oh, this was
what?
This was 3-4 weeks ago. The Department of Homeland Security went in with something like maybe 25 search warrants and arrest warrants for 25 people, rounded up several hundred of them, and disappeared them. And won't tell people.
Where? In West Virginia?
No. This was in mostly the western states, Colorado, Utah.
Okay.
And
why did they pick them up? For what reason?
The arrest warrants were for counterfeiting.
Money?
No, things like green cards, immigration documents, passports.
That is such a crime. You really, you know, should be locked away forever. And you know, my God.
Yeah, this is a scary.
And you don't know what happened to these people now?
No, union lawyers from the United Food and Commercial Workers obtained an order from a federal district judge last week compelling the Department of Homeland Security to give up the names and locations of these individuals, but to the best of my knowledge, it has not yet been divulged.
It's like pinching a bull in a horn, I guess.
Yeah.
Same reaction. Can't believe this.
This is a frightening, frightening place.
So, you know, I heard you mention earlier that people would have to go, you know, go out on the street and demonstrate. Well, you know, with the way things are going, that would take a lot of courage these days, wouldn't it?
It does indeed. I don't know how much this country is gripped by fear at this point. Obviously, I think the drumbeat for Iran has a lot to do with the failure of Iraq.
Well, I tell you what, those people who know about it, about, you know, really the all the behind this Patriot Act and this new torture law, is it, or torture bill?
Mm-hmm.
They would know, and they would have reason to be scared. And the other ones, they don't know. They're because they're on the couch, you know, preoccupied with Dancing with the Stars or whatever.
Exactly.
That's the first thing that just came to my mind.
No,
I heard it mentioned before.
No, there's plenty. We have plenty of things to preoccupy and keep Americans from displaying any interest whatsoever.
Yes.
In participating in their government.
Do you know they used to do that in the Third Reich too? In order to keep morale up, they used to have all these feel good movies, you know, and no war movies, but nice, you know, and pretty actors, and everybody was just happy and singing and dancing and the equivalent of, you know, maybe Fred Astaire type movies. And that was supposed to keep the soldiers and the people motivated and
docile as well.
Basically, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but I think there's plenty of evidence to suggest that a lot of what these Republicans have done in this Bush administration, Angelica, has been taken straight from the Third Reich's playbook.
Well,
especially where media manipulation is concerned.
Well. I don't know if it's ingrained in them or, you know, I think it must be in you to come up with these evil thoughts, because if you're like that, because they don't read, so where would they get that knowledge? You know,
well, no, that's the thing. The people in the core of their movement do read, and they are aware of these things.
Oh, they do have, okay.
I'm
talking about the ones, that, you know, way on the top. None of those.
The people they put out front are just manifesting policy.
Yeah.
But the people at the real center of the movement or whatever you want to call it, know exactly what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And
like Rove and people like that?
Well, Rove and the so-called thinkers, the William Crystals, the core of the leadership of the Project for a New American Century, whether it's Douglas Feith or Wolfowitz or...
I just learned that yesterday. That's that PNAC?
Yeah, Project for a New...
I thought it was like a P and a NAC. I said, how do you spell that?
Yeah, PNAC, Project for a New American Century.
I didn't know what that was, but now I do. And I've you know, I was given the website link, so, you know.
Oh, you can read their manifesto, and, you know, it's not so much a manifesto anymore so much as it's a script.
Mm-hmm.
And we are following
like
their script.
More or less?
Pardon?
Like a Bible?
In a way, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's some sort of holy writ to them. Because their goal is to establish American hegemony over the entire globe, and the sad thing is, it's such an ignorant little plan. It may wind up establishing the exact opposite.
Well, but right now, that's pretty much what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, they are literally destroying this nation.
I mean, their hegemonious actions. I mean, where is the counterpart? They're rulers of the world, and that's the way they like it. And with the loaded gun, you know, and
mm-hmm.
of a nuclear weapon or whatever, and pointed at the rest of the world.
And what's the world doing?
What can we do? We, you know.
I know.
What can you do?
It's terrifying. You know, maybe some of us can take to the streets. We can protest. We'll protest on Friday and be gone on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't figured out yet, Angelica, that the truth of any sort of meaningful protest is that it has to be like, was it Lithuania or was it Ukraine?
No, that was Ukraine.
Ukraine, where they can't...
Orange Revolution, you mean?
Yeah, where they just sat, they gathered in front of the seat of government and they didn't leave.
Yeah. That was Ukraine.
Yeah, in freezing cold, and they stayed because they knew that their very future depended on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we have a protest march, and, you know, maybe the media will cover it, and maybe the media will say, well, you know, they had a million people today, but the next day we're gone.
But what's different? You know, for some reason...
I know it may sound a little bit crazy to some, but it's a labor issue, Angelica, because... all these people who come and protest, most of them have jobs they have to get back to, and they'll get fired, and they'll lose their boat, and they'll lose their home, and they'll lose their car, and they won't be able to feed their children, and their entire world will collapse if they were to do something like the Ukrainians did. We are owned lock, stock, and barrel. We are right where the money people want us to be, Angelica.
Well, but a lot of it by own doing.
To a certain extent.
Well, I have to say that if y'all, I don't mean you, you know, weren't in, and I know you're not, but a lot of people are in so much debt from buying, just overbuying and consuming in such a...
Right, and that's what I'm saying. This has all been deliberate.
Yeah, and so you end up being a slave to
a credit card.
To a company, that, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the resource to say, okay, I'm going to tell you to go to hell, and I'm going to do my own thing, because you're a slave, basically, because you have credit cards to pay off. And
yeah, and I mean, even the credit card deals. I don't know how it works over there, Angelica, but the nature of the credit card business here, Congress, the Republican Congress, bent over backwards to let the credit card industry do anything it wanted to the American consumer. So that, for instance, if you've got a credit card with a very, very good interest rate, say 4.9%,
uh-huh.
If you are a minute late on your payment, you go to a penalty interest rate sometimes as high as 30%, and it doesn't change. It doesn't go back to 4.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Yes, this is. It's not only allowed, it's endorsed.
Where are your consumer people protecting or slapping their fingers?
Well, during the Republican reign of terror, they couldn't protect anybody from anything because these guys were bought and paid for. That's why it's so important what's going on in the Senate right now. The Senate, we were talking earlier, the House of Representatives passed a bill by something like 430-1 that would have imposed ethics reforms on members of Congress, saying that they couldn't take lunches or golfing trips or cruises.
Okay, so they did pass that then.
The House passed it, but 46 out of 49 Republican senators have stopped it in its tracks in the Senate.
46 out of 49. But the Senate, don't they, I mean, isn't there a majority anyway to pass it? As it is, without the Republicans?
Well, no, this is what the filibuster process is about.
Oh.
They're
filibustering that?
They're filibustering it. And as a consequence, the bill just dies. And sadly, you know, Harry Reid, the Senate leader, apparently has not seen fit to stand up and do to them what they did to us. You know, we threatened to filibuster a judge, and he said, I will eliminate the filibuster if you do that, and you'll never speak again.
Who said that?
Well, that was the Bill Frist, the Senate Majority Leader under the Republicans. That was called the nuclear option.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to eliminate the possibility of the filibuster.
And Reid won't do that now?
No. We're bigger than that. We're better than that.
So the bill is going to not pass?
It's dead.
Already is. Uh-huh.
Because we can't advance it any further against the Republican filibuster.
Has a bad smell to it, Bob, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
And it's distressing to me, Angelica, that that Reid, you know, and some would say, you know, well, we want to be better than the Republicans are. We don't want to use their heavy-handed, ham-fisted tactics like they did. We want to reach across the aisle. We want to advance a blah 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 blah. Sometimes you have to bloody a bully's nose.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like wanting to strike a pit bull.
Yeah.
You have to put a muzzle on him, and you can't pet him as much as you think that you may want to be friends with him. You know.
Well, that's what we've got. We've got a rabid animal in the form of the Republican minority in the Senate, and they are doing to us. They are doing to the American people, because the whole origin of talking about this ethics reform goes back to what we were talking about in terms of stepping to the plate for American consumers. But you got to remember, things like the bankruptcy redesign was put through with the help of Democratic senators as well. Lots of them.
And that's something that we have now instituted, you know, a personal bankruptcy. And you say you're doing away with yours.
Well, what we did was we made it harder to get rid of debt. In other words, if a middle class family here, say somebody has heart surgery and they have $150,000 worth of medical debt, they can't bankrupt it now without running the risk of losing their home.
Uh-huh.
And that bill was fought for by a Democrat named Joe Biden. It was supported by a Democrat named Robert Byrd, Joseph Lieberman, and a whole host of Republicans.
So in other words, if you do get just so terribly ill that you could actually lose your house, you have to choose between your house or medical care.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Or not even medical care, but medical debt.
Medical debt.
Because the nature of our bankruptcy laws used to be that you'd file bankruptcy and all those so-called unsecured debts would go away. Now they don't.
No, they don't.
Credit card debt used to go away in bankruptcy. Now it doesn't.
They've got $100 billion every year to spend on Iraq. $100 billion. And for them to be so stingy then about the people who need it.
Oh, I don't think it's even stinginess, Angelica. It's cruelty.
Yeah.
It is overt cruelty.
You know what gets me too is... in the beginning, they were, I guess, German, when Schröder was still chancellor, he was asked, you know, because he had to pitch in, obviously, and so people were asked to forgive Iraq's debts. And they did, and they had humongous debts, obviously, because they couldn't sell the oil, back then during the embargo period. And so... You know, we forgave the debt, and what happens? And then you're telling me on some other program that they were playing football with just bundles of money, using them to play football and whatever, and just burning money and throwing it away. And so that to me, it just doesn't add up. Because then basically what we did is we are condoning this kind of behavior and this kind of waste by forgiving, because Iraq would have plenty of money if the oil revenues, if they would get all of that, if the green zone people wouldn't chalk it all up, you know.
Right, but the deal's been cut. 75% of the oil profits will go to Western energy companies.
Yeah.
It's a mess across the board, Angelica. So, you know, I hope as you look from afar at what is going on here, I hope that you will understand that there are a lot of people that would like to be out in the streets. There are a lot of people who would like to be protesting, but they dare not. You know, it's not the threat of a night rider. It's not someone coming in a dark uniform and disappearing you in the middle of the night.
I think that's a very real threat.
It's much more subtle and it's much more effective.
Uh-huh.
Homeland Security isn't going to disappear you. The credit card company will destroy you.
Yeah, that.
And they will do it legally. And they will do it completely within laws that were set up by people who are more beholden to credit card companies than they are to the American people who put them in office.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard that people actually charge food on their credit cards.
Yes, they do. We use credit cards for everything over here.
What are grocery stores doing accepting credit cards?
Oh, they're happy to have it. They will take anything. Credit card, debit card, check, cash. Nobody uses cash anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit of an overstatement, but there's a lot of truth in it. Everything's the swipe of a magnetic strip.
Yeah. There again, and maybe somebody's listening, and maybe they would reconsider giving into to all this buying of stuff, and usually it's just stuff.
Well, it is, and it's junk, it is addictive. It's very addictive, because there's a little rush, there's a little bit of a thrill that makes you feel like you're somebody when you go and you buy something.
And that's just it, if you have to value your personality by the size of your TV screen, or then there's something wrong.
Yeah, you're in real trouble. And we try to evade that here, but everyone in this country is subject to it. We don't keep a car for more than 5 years before we're off and getting a new one, because we've been taught by Detroit that's what you do if you're a patriotic American. You buy a new car every 5 years. We are inundated with commercials that tell us our teeth aren't white enough, our bodies stink, our clothes are old and shabby, and we need new ones. I mean, this is, and it starts with children, Angelica.
Mm-hmm.
There is an information war being waged against the American people, and it's sell, 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 buy, 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 and we don't, and the American people don't. We get very little chance to sit back and relax.
Huge shopping carts. I mean, they're just so huge.
Yeah,
they're much bigger than the shopping carts in Germany.
Well, I can't imagine what it would be like to live. I can't imagine what it would be like to live in a place, especially because we're so rural here. But to live in a place where there's a guy who's a butcher, and there's another guy who's a baker, and there's another guy who has a shop just beyond that who deals in vegetables and fruits, and you go to a separate store and you buy what you need for the day, and you go home and you go and you do it again the next day.
Yeah.
That used to be the way it was in America, but that is gone.
I have two bakeries, actually. One I can walk to or ride my bike to. The other one I drive to, because they actually, the baker gets up at 1 o'clock at night,
and I can only imagine how wonderful that bread must be.
Well, sure, and the rural areas around here, you can go and get your vegetables right from the farm.
But you see, you value that. There is a societal and a cultural value for that kind of thing where you are, and it's valued in other parts of the world too. And
But trust me, Bob, it's here too. I ventured out from my sick bed there on the 10th of January. That's when I got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, when you got your picture taken?
Yeah. I haven't got mail yet, so I don't know how much it'll be. But anyway, I was driving to the grocery store, to the supermarket. And, and what I saw there is just, that's upsetting to me, because we see strawberries from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we have you know, just a few more months. We're living strawberry country here. I mean, there's just fresh strawberries all over the place, and they're so delicious. And if you
and there's play, and but we've abandoned the seasonal. Or the knowledge or the comprehension of the seasonal nature of food, even.
Oh, it's the waiting. You have to have it now.
Right.
You know? And asparagus, and you have to know something. I live in asparagus country.
Oh.
Where, you know, we have the most wonderful white asparagus here, and we really cherish that from April till June, I think, you know, and depending on the weather. And, you know, and here I see in the supermarket asparagus from Peru. Now, you know how I feel about that, because I know there's been some rainforest cut down. You
well,
know.
Imagine the fuel that was burned to get a boat from
right.
Peru to Germany.
Or come from South Africa.
Or South.
Strawberries. And you have to consider that, you know, they have like planen, you know, like a... something, you know, the plastic, they're covered. Because they're out of season. And, well, maybe not in South Africa, but when they come from Spain, we get a lot of them from Spain, too. And they're so full of pesticides, and then you have to get this, they're being sprayed with mildew killer, you know, because, and stuff like that. So who needs that in the winter? And then, you know, in the winter you have certain vegetables you can eat, and then in the summer you know, I love rucola, and I, you know, I eat a lot of that in the summer, but
because that's
a while in the winter.
Yeah.
It's not a winter salad, so you should stay off of it, you know.
We have forgotten it seems that a lot of this is turned toward this technology is turned toward defeating the seasonal nature of the very globe itself.
Well, that's the same reason why there are Lebkuchen and Christmas cookies out in September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you have that problem too?
Well, we see it in a different form. The Christmas stuff goes on the shelves at the same time the Halloween stuff is coming off the shelves.
Oh, but that's still more acceptable. And here, you know, it goes on the shelves like Lebkuchen, and because they're so freshly baked, and people then can't wait until Christmas. And then it says, well, if you didn't buy them, then they wouldn't bake them fresh until December. And I refuse, I mean, to buy even a single Christmas thing before December.
Good.
You know? And I hate it, and I've complained.
Well, you're keeping to a rational rhythm.
Yeah, I've complained until I'm blue in the face, but, you know, and loudly, so you should hear me in the store, just ranting and raving when that happens, because I, you know, I just get so mad, and I just let it vent right in front of those Christmas and Christstollen and chocolate Santa Clauses and things like that, you know. And while it's still hot outside, and we haven't even had fall, and this is time for new wine, you know, and apples and
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So this is a world that I would like to
immerse myself in. Has full scale winter finally descended upon you there?
Are you kidding? What's that?
No winter.
None. I still have my fuchsias out and geranium.
Well, it may be strawberry season sooner than you thought.
it may be a problem if these, because the fruit trees already have big blossoms now, bigger than normal, you know. During the normal winter there are some warm days, and then they come start budding up, but they're small enough to where they can withstand the cold. But if we get a freezing spell now, it's going to be gone. So, and we've not had any freezing at all. It's just, I have no snow tires. I've been meaning to put snow tires on in November. I didn't get around to it.
It may be superfluous.
I'm kind of glad now I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and and we've had just a humongous storm today. I don't know if it wasn't in the news, but, you know, all of Germany's basically shut down over it. Trains and don't run, and planes, and and flights canceled, and they're expecting a flood on in the North Sea. But down here, you know, we're engulfed in this little valley of around with the mountains around, so it's a little more protected. But you know, no winter, no. That's got to be
strange.
It is, and nature is, and the birds are confused because they're already chanting their bridal songs out there, you know.
Well, we were at our meeting yesterday, and heard a loud thump, and a cardinal had flown headlong into its reflection in the glass and just knocked itself silly.
Oh.
And you know, it's January in southern West Virginia.
One always put something on there.
One wouldn't expect to see that bird.
Yeah, a cardinal in January. They probably didn't. Don't they fly away usually for the cold?
I thought they did. I could be wrong. I suppose some could be permanent, but I thought they migrated.
That's what I heard too. That our migrating birds just stayed because it was so snug here. There was no reason to go anywhere. So I don't know.
It's a world turned upside down right now, Angelique.
But apparently global warming is not an issue, so they say.
No, we're not worried about it.
And their simplistic minds, they say,
well,
because you don't use so much heating oil. Imagine that.
Well, Angelique, you've got to understand that there is an element in our society that now has gotten so desperate on the global warming issue that they have taken to referring to people who worry about global climate change. They're just out and out calling them old reconstructed communists.
Who does that? And who listens? Let them talk.
Well, they, believe me, they do. I mean, it's not just one person. These are the right wing talking points of America right now. They can't talk about the war because the war has failed. The war is lost. So as we talk about global climate change, the way that right wing radio works over here is so different from anything that we're doing with the Horn or anything that Nova M's doing or even Air America. It's because we're not trying to divide people. We're just trying to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, though, these people on the other side have to create controversy, and they have to create division, because the only way they can succeed with their arguably fascist goals is by dividing the American people with these ignorant issues. And so,
well,
and so,
so
yeah,
bad.
Global warm people worried about climate change are now, in the eyes of the right wing, reconstructed communists.
Is that the same as them saying, well, it's not an issue, it's not happening?
Yeah.
Because I've heard Bob from North Dakota would say that he's walking around in short sleeves or something. Is this ridiculous? North Dakota?
Yeah.
The ice, is this kind of the refrigerator of the United States?
In many ways, yes.
And, you know,
they've finally gotten some of the right weather, but it was the wrong weather for a long time. And there's, you know, again, there's a natural cycle to things. The ground in certain places is supposed to freeze for the environment to behave the way it's supposed to the rest of the year.
Exactly. And also the certain insects are not supposed to survive because, you know, they're bad for our trees. Certain beetles, you know.
Right. Well, I can tell you for a fact, as someone who likes to put in a garden, if we don't have some hard winter here and have a steady freeze on the ground, everything that I put out, everything that I plant, will get eaten by bugs.
Yeah.
Unless I break down and go buy some vile petrochemical.
Well, don't do that.
And you know, and poison the ground.
Yeah, and you're poisoning the ground and yourself. And
sure.
Please, it brings to mind. Please do not use bug whackers. They're the worst thing you can do for the environment.
Yeah, they kill the wrong bugs.
They kill everything, and also, you know, those also the good bugs, and everything just gets zapped up in there, and also that's food for a lot of birds and
oh yeah, we don't
bats and other flying species that depend on those bugs, you know.
Oh, we don't use those, and I try to avoid using pesticides in the garden.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, things like potato bugs and the stuff that wipes out
plant potatoes.
Oh, of course.
Oh, really?
Oh, goodness me. Little new potatoes. Early.
Good for you, Bob. I learn something new about you every day.
Oh, they're wonderful. There's nothing like them. That and fresh green beans. Mercy.
Well, I have a friend who plants potatoes, too, and she picks... I can't touch bugs, I.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't kill them, but I can't touch them either. So, but she picks them up with her hand and just picks them off the plants.
Oh, I hate a potato bug. They're the nastiest looking things. Oh, they're just vile.
You couldn't touch it either?
Oh, no, I do. I'll flick the little... Yeah. Yeah. Try to use natural means to keep them away. And,
you know what else pollutes the environment and really confuses the wildlife is the light. Did you know there is such a thing as light pollution?
Oh, sure. It's one of the things my son's very interested in astronomy, and one of the things that I pointed out to him was light pollution. We go out and we look into the southern sky, and you can see the lights of Fayetteville and Oak Hill and Beckley just making a glow on the horizon. And it's not, and I explained to him, we can't look at stuff over there because the light pollution's,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
They had an article, a reportage on, now they're trying to design new lights, street lights, to where they only point down.
And that makes sense because that's wasted light in the first place.
It's wasted light, and it also doesn't light up the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it really puts the light where you need it, but where you are.
And there's plenty of profit opportunity in a lot of these more green-oriented energy solutions.
Oh, incredibly, yeah.
But you would be hard-pressed to convince an average so-called capitalist around here that that's true.
Very, these wooden pellets that are very popular here now for, because it's just a byproduct from wood, and it's basically normally would just go into garbage, and it's just a wonderful heating source. So people have been buying new furnaces.
Yeah, pellet stoves are very popular here as well.
Uh huh.
Something
too. That friend that picks up, she lives in the city. Not here, but a little away. She has solar panels on her house, and the city that she lives in subsidized it, and now she's selling back, or she and her husband rather, selling back the electricity to the city.
Well, and that's within the rules that govern them here are called tariffs. That's actually within the tariffs here. Mm-hmm. If you generate electricity, the power company is obliged to buy it from you.
Yeah, and so that seems to work out very well like that.
Angelica, I've enjoyed our conversation very much. I have to roll on because the show's over.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. We're at
it's
the end.
What? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Hooray. I get to go to bed.
To bed with you.
Right.
Good night, Angelica, or good morning. Bye now.
Gute Nacht.
Gute Nacht.
Gute Nacht. Schlaf schön.
Danke. I'm sorry for those of you on hold. I apologize. We will pick the conversation up where we left off when we resume tomorrow morning, evening, night, whenever it happens to be that you listen to this program. My lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes, produced the program. Sometimes she even gets the callers' names right. Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble for that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're going to get a raise. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, is our engineer. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn. He's got a fundraiser going. He'll never send you a bill. You just have to do the right thing by Ben. So, if you can, please do. Brian Reznor announces the program. And every program on the Horn is brought to you because there are several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, and they get up every day and they go and they build the American dream. And when they do that and they support this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
his Iraq plan. Campaign photo shows Bush with Abramoff. U.S. hits Al-Qaeda in Somalia. U.S. submarine and Japanese ship collide. General says North Korea may conduct another nuclear test. Israeli Prime Minister arrives in China. Russians turn off Europe's oil supply. New video of Saddam's corpse on the internet. Governor seeks sweeping health system reforms. MSNBC wins the first presidential debate. Oil prices sag to about $54 a barrel. Zoo puts humans on display. Tony Blair says, I won't give up flights. DeMint endorses Romney for president. Sharpton considers running for president. And I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm Jeff Allen Wolf. More ahead. Up next.
Gotcha.